This podcast is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off of any of their great supplements like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, Strong Bone. It's code word CHURCH and you get 10% off. Also, go to NailedItLife.com for the premier vapor pen on the market. For all the oil and wax smokers, the pen works with both of those. Use code word Joey Diaz, no spaces, to get 20% off. The show is also brought to you by HitEcigs.com. That's Hit, the letter E, Cigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. Use code word Joey's Church. That's Joey's Church to get 20% off of your order. And again, this show is brought to you by IronDragon.tv or IronDragonTV.com. Either one works. It's a new Roku channel. We just had the owner on, Dave. He was on last episode. If you use code word Joey, you're going to get two free rentals. They have the Ip Man series. 4K technology is coming out soon. They sponsor Tim Kennedy. Go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get two free rentals.
Oh, shit.
Watch me. Watch me.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with?
I got it.
Oh.
Watch me. I got it.
Sunday night edition. Monday morning, cocksuckers. Grab your cock. Salute the flag, motherfuckers. Oh, shit. It's dropping. Grab it, motherfucker. What?
And I'm super bad.
You're super bad. What? The church, Lee Syatt.
I got soul.
Tiffany Haddish dropping on a Sunday night for you. You're going to sit there like a mutt on the couch. For what? You're going to lay in bed with insomnia. 12 days to Christmas. Fuck that shit. You're a bad motherfucker. You think James Brown had doubts? Play that shit. He was black. He had fucked up hair. But he took it to the hoop every night. What? What? What?
And I'm super bad. I'm love. I love to do my thing. And I don't need
no one else. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with, huh?
Joey Bananas?
It's a Sunday night, motherfucker.
Good God.
Woo! Did you ever see the movie that just came out?
I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about reality. Listen, feel it. Feel this in your fucking heart, cocksucker.
I'm super bad.
Hey!
I said I'm super bad.
There you go. Hey. I was about fucking 7 when this came out. I still remember walking from 205 West 88th Street to like 112th to some music store to buy it. It fucking just puts me there on a Sunday night. Tremendous. What's happening, people?
What's up?
I can't call it. Leah Syatt and I went to Vegas this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to do...
Thank you for inviting me.
No, please. You were going to sit at home. The girlfriend was fucking studying all weekend, right? I said, fuck it. Let's go. I was going to do Friday night at...
South Point.
Dirty at 12:30, which we'll get you on. We'll get you in the rotation. What you drop in Vegas.
By the way, I've been to Vegas like 4 or 5 times now. Every time I go to the South Point, I like it more. I hate the Strip. The rooms are beautiful. And
listen, you're off the fucking thing. You take a cab, and you're away from everybody. You want to party, shoot in there.
There's no need to go to the Strip. They have a movie theater, a bowling alley, bars, a ton of restaurants.
A fucking ranch downstairs. They got a movie theater, so when you perform there over the weekend, you just go to the lobby, go upstairs. They got midnight bowling. So if you bring your date with you, whatever the fuck you want to bring, you bowl him, then you fucking suck his asshole.
Hey, you better be my husband. I'm sucking assholes. That's nasty.
Shit. So
thank you.
I'll massage it. And I ain't gonna suck it. I might kiss it.
That's disgusting on a Sunday night. You can suck dick on a Sunday, but you can't stick your tongue up nobody's ass on a Sunday.
No.
That's when the devil shows up. You know what I'm saying?
That's how you get tetanus of the tongue.
What'd you lose, cocksucker? How much?
200.
That's it all together. Stop.
No, yeah, that's all.
Plus what? Plus the money in the sock.
No,
stop.
I just
stop it.
But
every 20, it kills you. You can hear it in your voice.
It doesn't kill me. I'm just doing it for fun now. But it's like, I went to a different hotel last night because I got to stay for the fights, and like the degenerate gamblers there were just crazy. They had the casino was conspiring against them, and this guy lost $7,000. I'm like, I just want to have fun.
Damn.
So $200 to me, that's not gonna. It was fun, but I had a great time.
I was I had always heard about Vegas. Vegas. Wait till you go to Vegas. You're going to have a great time in Vegas. And the first time I went to Vegas, I don't know if it was the coke I had, But from the time I got off the plane to the time I got to the hotel, I just didn't feel right. And I went up to the hotel. I don't remember what hotel I stayed at, or like we flew from Newark to, I think I stayed for 2 days. And I remember always feeling uneasy. And then I went back with some guys that were decent guys, and I didn't do drugs. And I don't know, it just, I saw what I always didn't want to be, like that thing I didn't want to be at the time. So it always scared me a little bit too much, because that could have been me. I could have been hanging out at the sports books with tickets, ripping them up in the fucking air, with porn tickets in my thing.
Yeah.
You know, my wife calling me, where's the fucking lunch money? That could have been me. I had an addictive personality.
Yeah.
And I went through that at an early age. But then I realized I didn't like giving up my money. I didn't fucking like it. I didn't like giving somebody money on a Thursday because I bet on some fucking basketball team and they didn't cover the spread. So, I don't know. I just never felt easy in Vegas.
Right.
Whether I went and got taken care of, or it didn't matter. I just never felt...
No, a lot of people don't like it. But, the food is great. That's... I called my mom today on the drive back, and I was like, thank you for not taking me to casinos. There was a lot of kids there this weekend. Like, little
breathing
babies.
Breathing cigarettes and shit. There was one lady carrying one, breastfeeding one with that fucking... addictive personality in the air. He's sucking your titty and he's sucking that air in. He's sucking addictive fucking deductive with cancer and fucking other
gambling
with other carcinogens and shit and
yeah.
Foot fungus. And
man,
I don't know what kids do there. And Token Lair always says, oh, there's a bunch of stuff to do, but the parents who are there don't want to go to like the kid stuff.
But I drop you off. I went there when I was a kid. My very first time there, I was like 6 or 7, and we went to Circus, and they have like a daycare.
Oh,
and you
wow.
play with a bunch of other strange kids whose parents don't give a fuck. And you spend a lot of time there, and you wait for them to come back and get you.
That's crazy.
And that's what happens.
I don't have a need to go to Vegas and take the baby, and neither does my wife. I offered her, I said, do you want to come for this trip? We'll take a Southwest flight. Be there now, and she was like, I really don't want to, you know. I don't have a need to walk through a fucking casino with my child, but that's me. Everybody mm-hmm. has different ideas on whatever. Everybody has different needs. People want to go to a pool, whatever the fuck, you know.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, ours was my mom and dad at the time, stepdad, they were broke, and so the cheapest thing to do was get like a room in Vegas. We go through Circus. They drop us off with the little daycare. Then they go gamble or whatever. Or maybe they go back to the room and fuck. I don't know. And then we all go back to the hotel room. We eat at a buffet, and then we all go back to the hotel room. And, yeah.
Yeah, but
that's what happened.
When I was a kid, they didn't take me to Vegas, but they took me to Miami Beach.
Where titties was everywhere and ass.
This is when, this is the 70s, the mid-70s. There was bikinis. There wasn't no nude beach then that I knew as a
so
child.
There was a lot
then.
Of hairy armpits and hairy crotches.
I would see bikinis and I'd be curious. I'm not going to lie. And I saw a rat one time that always stayed with me by the pool at the Hawaiian Isles or whatever the fuck it was at the time. They had 7 pools.
Mm.
So every year what we did was I would go down there the first week of July and I'd stay down for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then the following weekend my mother would come down from New York. And we'd rent a hotel with Miami family on the beach. And we'd get a different hotel. But it was all up to the kids because we'd pool hop at night. It was from a shitty hotel to the Newport Hotel. And we'd just go down South Miami Beach. This is 30 fucking years before South Beach ever was hit. This is North Miami Beach, the old Miami Beach. And I remember going from like the Castaways. But the Castaways, I think, don't quote me on this, had 7 swimming pools.
That's crazy. Right, swimming so pools were always fun as a kid.
That's the fucking lure for me. I was a New York City kid. I always wanted, you know, my cousins could walk barefoot in the sun. I couldn't fucking do that as a kid.
Because your feet burned?
Yeah, my feet would burn. They would walk for a mile with those fucking feet on thick because they were used to it. I was never used to that type of shit. It used to drive me crazy. So I liked all that swimming and stuff. And I remember being by the pool one night, like 9:30, being like 9 and shit. And I'm from New York City. I've killed some rats. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there. I ain't high. I ain't nothing. At the time, that's what you did as a kid in New York City on the street. You killed rats.
How?
Like one every summer would pop out and you chase it. and fucking get behind the car, and then you corner it, hit it with sticks, and then you fucking throw rocks at it, and then you hit it with more sticks, then you drag it out, and you keep hitting it, and then cars would drive over it, and then you put it somewhere where a car would drive over it, then you dragged it back with the stick, and you hit it more, then you put it with rocks. Then you got some glue or gasoline, and you pour it on, you let it on fire. And then once you turned it off, you hit it with some more fucking sticks. That's how, Lee.
Fucking so slaughter that shit.
I just have this image of, like, you looking the same, but being really short, just hitting it with sticks.
It'd be like 20 Puerto Rican kids.
Oh, my God.
But I remember being on the beach one night and just looking at the ocean. I wasn't on the beach. I was a scary cat. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is the beach. This is a wall. There's a place where people could lie, you know, like when they lie like this and get the sun like backwards on those beach chairs. Mm-hmm. And they went around the pool. I was in this way looking at the ocean. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, right? Minding my own fucking business. I look over. I see something moving. I'm like, that ain't nothing moving. Lee, this had to be probably a fucking foot and a half rat.
Oh, no.
And I saw his little tail squirming, and I just froze. I had seen him in New York pretty big, but this one took the fucking cake.
Jesus. I don't know if I've ever seen a rat.
Oh, my God. He just ran and he ran
into
the beach.
You've never seen a rat?
I don't know. I mean, I lived in Boston, but I don't... I think I might have seen him in New York on the subway, but not like huge like that.
Then about 5 minutes later, I heard... And a crab was chasing him down. Fucking like a little crab walking backwards, whatever the fuck they're doing. I'm like, I'm out of here. That was it for me. No more Miami Beach. This is real, Jack. You know, I like going to the beach and picking up seashells and shit and listening like a retard. But this is fucking real. Where'd you grow up, Tiffany Haddish?
I grew up in South Central Los Angeles.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Born and raised?
Born and raised. Always lived in L.A.
High school.
I went to El Camino Real High School in Woodland Hills, California. I was bused. I had to get up every morning at 5 a.m. and walk down to the bus stop and, go to school.
Okay, so they bused you from...
South Central to Woodland Hills.
Now, where you grew up, you know, Lee always talks about where his girlfriend lived and where they moved from. In contrast to what America sees on television, where is this film, where you grew up? What TV show have you seen and go, that's why I grew up?
Like where Moesha was living. Like Moesha, that TV show Moesha with Brandy. She was living in Leimert Park area. Like, so I'm like right down the street from there.
Leimert Park, you know, is where Alvarado?
No, not Alvarado. It's Crenshaw.
Okay, I'm
like off of Crenshaw.
Paula always brings up Training Day. Is it like that?
That's the Jungles. I lived in the Jungles for a little bit. That's on the other side of the Crenshaw Mall. Where I grew up mostly, where I spent the majority of my time, was over by the Slauson Swap Meet. Or where the Coliseum. I believe, the Coliseum is right down the street. That's like 2 miles away. USC, over there, USC. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they bust you from down there to Woodland Hills and...
Right.
Who made that decision? The state? The city?
I guess this my school. I don't know. They had passed out some papers called choices.
But this is to integrate black schools.
Yeah.
Children in white neighborhoods and vice versa.
They
didn't see
no
white kids come to our
school. They did that in Massachusetts where I grew up. They didn't send white kids. They sent kids from the city to the suburbs.
Yeah, they didn't send.
Yeah, they sent nice white kids. From that. They sent blacks and Puerto Ricans. Into your
neighborhood. Puerto Ricans, a couple Asians.
You sit there and go, what the fuck is this? What did we do to deserve this fucking shit?
No, they just sent black kids and Hispanic kids into Woodland Hills, but I don't remember them sending any to LA at all. No, they didn't, because our schools were overcrowded, they were saying. And so at first I got sent to Hale Middle School once I had graduated from elementary. I went to Hale Middle School, and that was interesting. Yeah, that was my first time around a lot of white people. I only thought that white people lived in TV. That's what I thought. Like, in my mind, all white people lived in TV. And whenever the police would go by or something, I'd be like, ooh, look, there go the guy from Chips. This is so fucking cool. Like, you know, or if the social worker showed up, I'd be like, oh, my goodness, she was on Murder, She Wrote. I think she was on Murder, She Wrote. Like, everybody I associated with people on television. That's just what I did. So when I went to Hale Middle School, and it's like all white, it's in Woodland Hills. Oh, my God. And I get there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm at the Nickelodeon Awards. This is so cool. I need to dress better. Like, So I wore my like church dress for the next 3 days. Like I was really around a bunch of celebrities. And then I made a friend and I found out that her mama get food stamps too. And I was like, oh shit, you just like my mama.
White
y'all
chick?
Ain't shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. White chick. And then her mama had food stamps. And I was like, wow.
When did you decide that you liked movies and all this shit that we do?
When did I decide I like comedy?
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah, with comedy, yeah, I decided in high school. Like, entertaining people, that happened to me in sixth grade. It was Black History Month, right? And I was Diana Ross. And my two friends that were twins was the Supremes behind me, right? And we was dressed all sexy and stuff, looking all good, big hair, everything, looking as sexy as a sixth grader can look. You know what I'm saying? And I had on heels. Now, we had been doing shows. We had already did like 5 shows and killed it every show. Everybody clapped for us, the first graders, third graders. They loved us, right? So then we're doing the parents program. And the boy that I like a lot is at this show. And he's sitting right in the front. Okay, I come out as Diana Ross. I'm like, stop in the name of love before you break my heart. And I'm singing it all hard and stuff, even though the record player is playing way louder than my little microphone. But I'm singing it from my heart. And we move to the side. And me and the girls had talked about this. If somebody fall, we all fall. Like it's a part of the act, right? So we take 2 steps to the side. I slip over the cord, fall down. Leg goes over the side of the stage, dress up, everybody see my flower panties. I kick the record player. When I try to get back up on the stage, and then the boy I liked is just looking at me, and I turn around, look at the audience, and I look at these bitches. They looking at me like, damn, bitch, you just showed your ass, right? And they didn't say that. We was in sixth grade. They was just like, oh my God. And then I just looked at everybody and I started crying and I run to the back. And then my sixth grade teacher, Miss Matoya, she come back there and she got a big ass mole. She got a mole like I got, but hers like has eyeballs and shit. Like it's another person. And she come back there and she pointing her finger in my face. She goes, you gonna sit back here and cry like a punk, or you gonna get your ass on that stage and finish this goddamn song? You gotta finish the song. And I was like, oh no. And she's like, you gonna sit here, you gonna cry like a punk? You gonna cry like a punk? Are you a punk? Are you a punk? And I was like, no, I'm not a punk. I'm not a punk. She's like, well, get your ass up and get back on the stage. So I get up, I go back on the stage. They have fixed the record player by then. Boom, the song comes on, the curtains open, right? And I'm singing, but it's tears coming down my face. And the whole audience gets up and they start clapping and shit. And I hear this one lady, she's like, that girl got courage. That girl got courage. And I'm like, stop in the name of love. I'm crying through the whole thing. And then the boy that I liked was like, afterwards, but the thing that made me decide, though, to be an entertainer was that it felt super good for all them people to stand up and clap for me, and I'm crying. And that lady said I had courage, and I was like, I said to myself in that moment, I always want to feel like this, and I always am going to have that thing that's going to push me through no matter what. But then the boy that I liked, right, he came up, he said, you look so beautiful when you first came out, and then you fell, and I thought that was funny. But then I saw your panties and I was like, dang, she's got on some nice panties. I was like, you think my panties were nice?
How old were you?
12.
Oh, you were a dirty freak.
I was 12. I was in sixth grade. And then he said, yeah, you have some nice flower panties. And then, but he said, but when you started to cry, that was ugly. That was really, really ugly. And then he said, but then when you came back out and those tears were running down your face, I thought to myself, yeah, Tiffany's really beautiful. And that's like the first time a boy said I was beautiful. And I was like, you think so? And I tried to kiss him. He's like, what the fuck is you doing? And he just mushed my face.
What did you want to be at 12, Leah? I was just thinking about that.
I don't know. I'm a veterinarian for a while. But I didn't think I could like cut open like an animal.
What kind of animal did you have at the house?
I didn't have a dog until I was like 13 or 14. That was when I first got my dog.
What did you want to do at 10? Did you want to be a superhero ever, or a comedian? Did you want
probably
to
a
cars?
Superhero?
Did you?
Yeah, I had jobs. Like in second grade, I started a weeding company. I did like 3 jobs. I put a sign up at the end of my driveway, and like my parents' friends would hire me to like weed their gardens.
Oh, you were a gardener.
Up for like 2 days. I always had little jobs.
Look at you, Mexican for 2 days.
Pretty cute. Much. Yeah, I always had little businesses. Like, I thought right when the internet came out, my dad had got one of the first computers, and I thought we could do a business where we could print out stuff people wanted to read and sell them the pages, and I don't know. Why do you ask me these questions when I'm super high?
Because I didn't. I'm sitting here listening to Tiffany, and I didn't know what we had never discussed. That you wanted to be at 12, like a. Did you ever think you'd be doing this? Like, at what age did you record?
My dad was doing this when I was that age. My dad did radio for 25 years, probably up until I was like 15. And I still to this day I can't listen to the podcast I'm on because I hate the sound of my voice.
But
why it's so sexy?
Thank you.
When did you decide to go to the entertainment college?
I decided to do that up until my junior year of high school. I thought I was going to go into marketing just because I thought it was like a real job. But I had done every single video production class in my high school so much that I was a TA, like an assistant, my junior and senior year. And I went to visit a couple colleges like Bentley, a business college, and it was just so boring. I didn't like it, and I went to see Emerson and just decided to go for it.
I think like at 12, I wanted to be a soldier.
Jesus.
Why?
What kind of soldier? Like a soldier?
Just like a G.I. Joe type soldier.
Jesus.
Like, I thought that's what I was supposed to do, to go to the service, and I'd come out and do something else. I didn't know. I was like a blind alliance.
Did you hear what's happening a lot now?
What's happening?
There's people dressing up in fake army uniforms and going out and trying to get free stuff. And there's this one dude who put a video up, like, taunting people. Like, I'm still going to do it. It's called, like, Stolen Valor or something. People pretending they're soldiers.
Well, yeah. People have been doing it for 20 fucking thousand years.
Yeah, people have been pretending.
You get those people that join the service and then realize it's not for them, but they heard something. But now every time you see them, they wear the fucking outfit and they tell you how they went to boot camp and then they almost got deployed, but they got the flu. They tell you some story. It's this fucked up thing. I didn't know why I wanted to be a soldier. I just thought that's what you did, you know, at that age.
And did you decide to become a comedian?
I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't fucking know. By the age of like 12 or 13, I had already heard Pryor. Mm-hmm. I had already heard that, and it was mind-boggling. It was mind-boggling what he was saying. It was mind-boggling that he got on a stage and said that, but it was the farthest thing from my fucking mind, you know? Mm-hmm. It was nowhere even in the horizon. I thought I would either be a soldier or go to school and be an attorney. Again, it was blind alliance. Allegiance. I didn't know what it entailed. I didn't know you had to go to 7 years of fucking law school.
No.
So it's just interesting.
You would be a great lawyer.
I always wanted to be a lawyer. That was my deal.
If you would do all the reading and all that shit you got to do. But
that would have been fun. School to me was always very simple. I got left back, not because I was stupid in the seventh grade, but because I fell in love with pussy, mm-hmm. and it just took me. Like, it just took me. I mean, Tiffany, it just took me.
Like, it snatched
just, and
you
she
up,
wasn't
huh?
really giving me pussy. Mm-hmm. She was just giving me the whiff. She was letting me dry hump her and sniff mm-hmm. her titties.
And that was
and every once in a while, I'd just touch right above, just grab a little hair. Like, just below the panty, I just grab a little hair, and she grabbed my hand. It was crazy, and I just got under. It was over, Tiffany Haddish. It
Wait,
was
once
over.
You got in, it was you hooked on. Because that shit could be like
you
crack.
Sniffed her boobs.
You know, when you're fucking 11 or 12, what do you think you do? You don't know what the fuck you do. Mm-hmm. This is all experimental. Right before you do a one man show, you take it to the Comedy Central stage mm-hmm. and you do experimental shit. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You read about in magazines, whatever you hear from your parents, whatever you hear on the street from the city pervert. You know, the sidewalk pervert. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. I don't know if you sniff a tit.
I don't know. You sounded like you remembered sniffing a tit.
Well, I got into that fetish later on when I got like 13. I would go to women's houses that I knew, like my mm-hmm. mom's friends. And I'd ask to go to the bathroom. I'd lock the door. And in those days, women would always have two things in the bathroom. In those days, every woman had a douchebag. Hanging from the fucking shower.
They would hang those douchebags?
Yeah, like a bag, a hot
you
water
hang
bottle.
It up or lay it across the
with
tub.
A tube, with a fucking head, with things with a sprinkler at the end. I never sniffed one of those. I always looked at it and thought about it. I ain't going to sit here and tell you I never thought about sniffing the fucking handle on a douchebag. But I wasn't that perverted. I wasn't that gone.
That's just going to sound like vinegar.
Yeah, I was settled with the bra. I got very tight with the bra. Like, I would sniff the middle of the bra and get dizzy and shit. So that was my thing.
Nipple sweat.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I always think that's very interesting to think back what you really wanted to do at 12, then what you popped in your fucking head what you wanted to do at 16.
Right.
Because then at 16, you hear your fucking moron friends talking, and you're like, at 16, what were you thinking?
Marketing. But at... Yeah,
I was thinking some sort of entertainer, but I didn't know what. I knew I wanted to be an entertainer.
Singing, dancing, you didn't know what the fuck.
I didn't know what, but something.
Did you go to college?
I went to community college for a little bit. I got accepted into NYU, but I didn't go because I didn't want to leave my brothers and sisters behind. I didn't want to leave the state. I was scared too. So I just went to Santa Monica, and I was like a freshman there, and they let me be in a play, and they don't even let freshmen in plays at junior college, but they let me in, because I'm talented.
And that was it.
And that was it. I was on then. I mean, then I started working at an airline for a little bit, but yeah.
What airline did you work at?
I worked at American, Air New Zealand, and Alaska.
Out of LAX?
Yes, out of LAX.
And what did you do for them? Customer service.
I provided excellent service, too. It's the best.
Jesus Christ. What year did you quit over there?
2003.
No shit?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get flight benefits and everything?
Yeah.
It was pretty nice. It's not
bad. It was nice. I traveled around, did some little ratchetness here and there, and
You weren't doing comedy then, though?
I started doing comedy in 2001 or 2002.
Now, we hooked up in 2005 as friends. Yeah. You, myself, Rafi May.
Uh-huh.
That's when we met. And we were discussing the time we went outside in front of the Laugh Factory. We had a showcase. We were all at the same agency at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we had a showcase. And after we were in front of there. And if I remember Good Nights in Hollywood, it was one of those nights where you're just talking to people and just have... And nobody else mattered. It was just me, you, and Ralphie.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you had nappy hair then. Yeah. Your shit wasn't tight, but you were very beautiful. I remember going, this fucking little chick is fucking badass. And you were just dropping truth, which a lot of people don't do in this town, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about your struggles, you know, before and what a woman has to do. And it's... You don't hear that much anymore. That part of your life. And what guys have to do. You know, I did some fucked up shit from 21 to 25, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You do it. Some you remember. Some you don't fucking remember. You know, you do some crap. One time getting evicted from a motherfucking hotel.
For what?
And knowing it because I didn't have the rent. When I left there, I told him I'd have the rent at 1. I got paid at 5. I was working for a brick mason. I worked all fucking week for maybe $250 carrying bricks and making mortar. I knew I was going to leave. It was 1985. I knew I was leaving Jersey. And I get to the hotel and I go, what's up, man? And they go, hey, man, we threw you out. Some Indian guy's like, we threw you out. Your stuff is in front of the hotel. And at that time, I had a duffel bag and that was everything, guys.
Damn.
I had an army duffel bag, a blue army duffel bag that had been around the world and back. Scammed on back of cars, you know. That thing had been everywhere. And I go over there, and there it is. The army is right there. But I listen to the door, and there's something's going on in there. So I still had the key. I stuck the key, and I open the door, and I hear a girl giggling and a guy, and I look, and they're in the shower fucking. And the steam is coming out, and I look at the bed, and they've been fucking. I look at the bureau, and there's a wallet. An envelope filled with fucking money. I just take the fucking money. I take the fucking wallet. I close the door gently. I grab that duffel bag and I run like a motherfucker. I run like a motherfucker across Route 4, whatever it is, going into the George Washington Bridge. There I am running with this fucking thing. I make a left the fucking right. And right there, right in that area, like I saw a cab. And I go, dog. Let's go into the city. I look in the envelope and it's fucking 50s and 100s. You know,
man,
let's
that go was into that prostitute's money. She mad as shit.
No, it was like a
The money they brought from the vacation.
Bank money, like a bank money. It wasn't. Those were brand new 50s and 100s.
He might have been a politician about to pay this hoe.
I paid the guy $50. He took me into Port Authority in New York. I walked up the corner. I checked the blue fucking duffel bag in Port Authority there. There used to be lockers. Uh-huh. Boom, I put the lock on 178. I cleaned out the wallet, ran the men's bathroom. I took the fucking cash out of the envelope. It must have been like $4,000 on a Friday night at 6 o'clock. Here I'm carrying bricks for $250 a fucking week. I remember fucking going to my neighborhood, buying a bag of rock, walking two more blocks, buying a bag of fucking reefer. That's when I used to go right by the Carvel there, and there was a dude who sold chocolate Thai weed, and then like three blocks down, you bought some powder, and I went right back to Port Authority, checked my fucking bag out of the thing, got right back on the bus, right back to Fort Lee, got a cab, and he took me to a hotel, like three down from the hotel I had just robbed. From the gas station I had robbed 3 weeks earlier.
Whoa.
I had robbed that gas station right by the hotel 3 weeks earlier, not a gunpoint.
Wow.
I did an application. This is fucking craziness. So what I'm trying to say to you is we do crazy things.
Yeah.
In our life that right now you think about it and go, Joey, that was pretty fucking sleazy. Maybe those people put away the money. Who didn't give a fuck at that night?
That bitch probably got beat up.
Yeah.
Shit.
At that night, that was, no, I don't know if she was a hooker. Maybe they were lovers. Maybe, who fucking
but
knows what
that
were.
Man is accusing her probably to this day of stealing his shit. She probably, he's like, she hit it in her pussy. I know it.
Like whoever was looking over me, the guardian angel that night,
mm-hmm.
I went in and out of there. Like they fucking got out of bed and go, what happened to my money? I don't know. I left on to, Jesus, do you think some, oh my God, call the police. Like at that time, I would have called a, and I was stupid in hindsight. I went to a hotel, like three, but it was a nicer type of hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I checked on, in those days, you don't have to have ID.
No.
You just told me your name was mm-hmm. fucking Joey LaBamba.
Boom.
Boom.
Done.
How many times did you just run into hundreds and thousands of dollars? You've told me like seven stories.
I know, he always got a theft story.
It was an uncanny thing. Like you have to think you have some type of guardian angel.
So like we were at the UFC. And that tip jar, would you have taken that before?
No. I wasn't to that level.
No, okay.
No. What are you gonna, I'm at the UFC sitting down having a good time with these tip. Take a tip jar. They're going to. Everything's on camera.
Well, I know now, but I'm just saying.
But even then, no.
Oh, no, I'm not saying now you're going to steal anything. You don't need to steal anything now.
No. I'm not laughing because I took a tip jar. I'm laughing about a dear friend of mine. That said, one night he was in the club, and I have another dear friend. He's no longer with us, but I loved him like a brother. One of my all-time favorite people, Tiffany Haddish, and he was crazy. This guy was like 5'6", and he was fucking yoked up. He had been doing steroids since he was 15. The dudes he was doing steroids with were gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sharing a needle. He ended up getting hepatitis C.
Shit.
This motherfucker didn't give a fuck. We'd be at a bar drinking, snorting coke, and I go, D-Money. Darren, take off your shirt, do push-ups. And he'd take his shirt at a bar packed in Jersey. Take off his shirts, do push-ups. I tell him, jump on the bar, do the crab. He'd jump up there. We loved him. He was tougher than shit. Oh, my God, my point. I'm fucking higher than fuck.
Oh, I know. Oh, so I had never been to a UFC before. Like, thank you. He's not going to listen, but thank you to Jeff for giving me the tickets. But I get to the hotel. Before we even go up to the room, you break out a joint. Then you take me up and you give me half a cheap.
I did not give you a half.
It was at least a third.
It was a third. I didn't give you half because I knew you couldn't handle what happens to you here. When I give you a half of the 70s, you can't handle it.
No.
So I would never do that to you. During the thing, you would have an anxiety attack.
Oh, God.
Which you already had. During the intro of the UFC, uh-huh. Tiffany, it's so strong. Like, it's so...
The energy,
music, right? The fucking videos, the music, it's so strong. And I knew it would take... It takes me still.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part of the whole fucking night. Is closing my eyes and being high and the fucking music, the speakers. You know,
that vibration.
It's that natural
that
fucking
energy.
That
activates your blood.
Yeah.
Except for that girl behind us. That girl made me laugh so much because she was so terrible. Like, she was like the comedian in the group, but she was saying awful jokes, like kick him in the dick, and she thought it was hysterical. Doing an all like, ha, ha, ha. Like, the whole night.
Every once in a while, I would look. She would get into my fucking head, Tiffany. And I would look, and I would just look away. Like, I didn't even get involved.
I'm that girl, though.
The worst thing you could do at those things is mingle with people.
Right.
Because once you mingle with them, you ain't going to shut them the fuck up. I know this from knowing comedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi, what's your name? Whatever. Okay. And you just look straight, and they'll get the hint.
Yeah.
They'll get the fucking hint after 2 minutes of listening. I ain't here to fucking make friends, okay? Right. I'm here to watch the UFC. You want to ask questions. Not now. Ask them some other fucking time. Ask me by the bar. But right now, I'm watching this. But there's an attitude you have to take. If not, I'm sorry. They'll keep fucking harassing you, dog. And he was just drunk, and he was a sweetheart of a guy. But that's a great fight. What do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about now? What do you want to talk about? What matter? Right now, you want to get biography.
Or maybe she was like how I am. I like to like yell out things to make men feel like they less than when I'm watching them at sporting events.
No.
Really? No.
Yeah.
No.
I like to like, what you call that? Like to belittle them. I be like, yeah, look at that ass. Your ass so tight in them pants. Go on, number 47. Yes. Oh, them balls just hit them in the neck. Oh, shit. You shacked that dick. Like, I like saying stuff like that.
No. This is crazy. This is a white event. He's a whiter than white people.
That dude had a golden phone receiver over his neck.
Yeah.
he would point out people that were dressed weirdly, and he would just be like, what do you think his asshole smells like?
Look at this fucking mook. There was a guy. I mean, listen, those tickets that we had were $1,200 seats.
I know.
They sift people out. I don't know. What did he say?
You know, I think it's 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000 base. These people are not animals. Mm. So these four chicks paid $800 a ticket. They came from whatever hellhole. Listen, at $800 a ticket, if you want to take your pussy out, stick a fucking drill in it, I can't say nothing to you.
Nah, that's...
At those events, unless you break my air, there's nothing I could say. Because mm-hmm. I have the same... But remember... That goes two ways.
Mm-hmm.
I could get dirty and I could get stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So when I start yelling, I hope your mother gets hit by a train. I hope you get cancer in your asshole. And you start crying because your aunt Lucille died of cancer 18 years ago when I was a little girl. Because you got three vodka martinis in you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck with me either. Do you understand me? That goes two ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I could fall into the game, but me, I'm a professional. I got a Chiba chew in me. I got voices in my head. No matter what, I'm watching motherfuckers get beat up. I'm thinking about the next move.
We walk in and that dude gets kicked in the head.
Yeah, the guy, John Salmon.
Oh, shit.
Fucking knocks this motherfucker out with a head kick. Beautiful. Pay it right from the book. Whatever you need to do on the street, whatever you do for a living, you want to kick somebody in the head, watch that fucking footage from last night. That was the opening fight that we saw. Then Uriah Faber, and then there was a little break. Then it opened up with all those other guys. We saw the main card. We were very fortunate to go. Joe gets six tickets. But even when we got there, there was a guy sitting next to me. You saw he started asking me questions.
Oh, I thought you knew that guy.
No, I don't know nobody.
Oh, you didn't know him?
No, I don't know nobody.
Oh, okay.
I don't know nobody.
Nobody. Because he said, hey, Joey, and you're like, hey, buddy, I thought you guys were friends.
I'm not there to mingle. I'm not there to take pictures. I'm there as a fan just like you.
Mm.
Why are you fucking with me? You know what I'm saying? Why are you fucking with me? And the area was cool. The dudes in front of me was cool. Everybody was cool.
Yeah.
The chick, they shut the fuck up after a while.
Oh, no, it was
They
fine.
Could
it
not out-talk. There's no woman that can out-talk a UFC event. They could not.
Is it just me, or does UFC fighting look like rape? It looks like rape to me.
It's just
it looks like man rape.
It's like just a different type of battle now. You know, we evolved as human beings. We want to see more shit. In 30 years, maybe we'll see motherfuckers handcuffed and fighting with a knife. That's what I'm waiting.
It did feel like a gladiator thing. Like when I was there,
it's very like, strong. It's a very
like
strong...
people fighting to the death in Greece. I was like, oh. And then, do you remember when that guy got kicked in the stomach, and you couldn't hear a lot of the punches, but that it went crack right in the stomach. It was like one of the last fights.
Gilbert Melendez,
maybe.
That was a great fight. And I flew back this morning with Big John McCarthy.
Okay.
I flew back on the first flight as usual. Fuck it. 6:55 like a motherfucker out of Vegas.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fuck you. I walked right through the whole thing. There wasn't a soul there. What did I get to eat? Yogurt in a cup. That's what I ate this morning. Fuck it. I didn't want to go too crazy. We ate pretty nice.
How bad were your farts last night? Or this morning, I mean, after the yogurt.
I ate chicken, dog.
No, you ate yogurt.
Yeah, but my fart, that's tremendous. It balances me out, the pH in my stomach. You know what I'm saying? I ate chicken last night. I didn't eat meat.
Yeah, you
I
didn't have chicken. Steak. I was surprised.
No. I can't eat steak and then go to bed. That's not good, Tiffany. I'm 51. It clogs you. Not that it clogs you. It makes your body work harder at night. Mm-hmm. You don't get a good night's sleep. I already have problems. I already got insomnia. I'm already only going to sleep fucking 3 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about that white soccer mom in the elevator up to your room who you told to stay black? Oh my God. You were... Okay, first he was telling... this white soccer mom... She drives like a Lexus SUV. Uh-huh. He's in there telling her a story about a friend of his who has a tattoo above her pussy... And some all these horrible. And
she this married woman, a gay dude. Oh, it's fucking hysterical.
And what happened? This woman just looking at him like,
The lady walks. Listen, we get on the plane. I get on the fucking elevator with Lee, and I'm telling Lee. Lee goes, "How do you know this girl?" I go, "We came up together at the Comedy Store." I go, "I love her like a sister." I go, "But she's fucking nuts. The girl's compass is off. In life, sometimes a woman's compass gets off.
Yeah.
And you make 3 or 4 bad men decisions." You really have to stop as a woman and go, do I continue this? Let me take a year off a dick. Mm-hmm. Let me get a vibrator, a cat. Yep. Let me get a vibrator with hair, one that blows grenades in my asshole. And let me get my
compass. I got one with pearls.
And let me get my compass back. Let me get my female compass back. One guy hit me. The other guy cheated on me. The other guy fucked my sister. I'm doing something wrong. That's what any normal human being would say that. I could flip this around and being a man. If your first wife left you, the other one killed herself, and the other one left you for fucking Louie, there's something going on. Yeah. We're not doing something right. I had those problems. I know. I understand. That's why I've been with this one for 14 fucking years. Because, you know, when you relate, when my marriage didn't work, it destroyed my insides for a long time. Mm-hmm. Not as a... Whatever, it may be more as a Catholic and a man in the way. Like, how do you fail at marriage?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you fail? This is easy. You know why we fail now? Because we married a motherfucker we meet at a casino.
Right.
And he sucks our pussy, right? And we splash in his face, and this is my man. No, we didn't even give this motherfucker a chance. After a year, he's going to bring his mommy in. Next thing you know, you're working, and he's supporting his mommy. And you're like, what the fuck did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. Motherfucker fucked me good one time. Since then, he's talking about mommy, that she makes the best rice and beans and whatever. Same thing, flip side. So we were talking. We went one day to get a bag of weed, and she asked me, like a woman, like, what's my problem? And I said, here it is, man. Take a year off. You don't got to do nothing. I mean, the last motherfucker cheated on you, the one before that, you checked in his email, and the motherfucker was, when you were working, he was dancing for old dudes that were 60 years old with panties on, and then snorting meth, and your pussy's got his name on your pussy. You understand me? Once you put your man's name on your pussy and the relationship goes sour, it's either time to see a counselor, see a fucking doctor, or get it to light a candle, kill an animal, sacrifice a motherfucker. Do you understand me? There's certain things that you make.
Grow that hair back and cover that name.
There's certain things that you do as judgment. Now you take not even a year off, move to Vegas, and you marry a motherfucker that's gay. So we're talking about this.
She told me this story, the same exact words, and the most soccer mom.
The whitest woman comes in, and you know when these bitches interrupt, and you talk, fuck it. You know what? You want to hear? You got the balls to press the fucking elevator button? Let me drop this motherfucker on you. She looks at me like, hi, and we're like, let me tell you what I was telling my buddy here. We know this chick that married a gay dude, put his name on her vagina, and I broke it down just like that.
In a 7-second elevator ride.
In 7 seconds, this lady looked at me. And all of a sudden, I got off, and I go, stay black.
And she goes, yep, okay.
That poor fucking lady. That's what was going on. That's what was happening.
That's crazy. Wait, you know a bitch that put a gay man's name on her pussy.
That one wasn't gay. That's the one that was emailing old guys, going to the houses, putting on like a wig and putting on like super bad. And then you put money in his G thing. Then he'll suck your dick maybe with a condom in his mouth or whack off for you, and the old man has to sit there with his hands on his side. That type of dude.
What? So he's like gay but not gay.
Right, right.
They yeah, he's like, I'm just trying to get money right like, here, baby. Y'all try to support the
this
family.
This ain't that bad. I'll come over, take my clothes off.
It's easy work.
You can't fucking touch me. You can sit there, whack off. I don't want to look. Whatever you do, I'll dance. It's $22 a song. What do you mean? The last fact that came over, I paid him $12.50. I'll take $15 because my balls will be clean. I'll let you know what. At the end of each dance, I'll scratch my fingers and let you sniff them. You know what I'm saying? Right, what the fuck? You got to do what you got to do. Well, 3-4 songs is $60.
Yeah.
That's how you have to look at this.
One of the craziest.
I've done less for more.
One of the craziest TV shows I worked on was about weird couples, and it was this woman married to a dude who said he was straight, but was doing gay porn and was trying to, like,
oh, yeah.
She looked so sad. She was, like, telling her sister, like, no, he just does this to support us. And he, this dude was so gay. And this girl looked so sad.
Was he getting banged in the muffler?
Yeah.
And, so you're not an actor? And you're living it. What the fuck?
The saddest scene in the entire show. You know camming? You know how girls can go in front of webcams now? Right. Well, he was webcamming. And she needed to get something out of the bedroom. And she was crawling on the floor on her hands and needs to get, like, something out of her bedroom while her husband's, like, jacking off for guys on the internet. And I love him so much. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Oh, how that's
horrible. How do people fall for that?
Listen, I don't
She's
give a fuck.
No self-esteem.
I don't give a fuck if you're fucking Marlon Brando. You're not going to fake getting a dick up the ass and say you're not gay. That's
okay, that's gay.
That's a commitment that's past, gone, done, done. That rabbit done died, cocksucker.
Yeah, that's gay. Even if you put your dick in somebody's ass.
Well, maybe not. The Cubans that go to prison, they have that whole system. I've discussed it before where they bang in the muffler.
What?
And you have to suck their dick, but they don't do nothing to you. And you have to act like a woman. It's like a prison thing. I'm sure people do it before. They're not the first people.
Wait a minute. You have to act like a woman.
Right, these guys are married. So let's say me, you, and Lee are in the cell, and you're a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I come in, and I just start smacking you and smacking Lee. Fuck you, motherfuckers. And all of a sudden, I pay money, and I get 2 wigs in, and I make you and Lee put on wigs. And then I'll make you both my freaks, right? And you would suck my dick. I'd fuck you in the ass, and you too, Lee too.
Uh-huh.
Could only suck my dick, nothing else. I would not let you fuck me in the ass or
nothing. You don't give us no hand jobs. Nothing. You just use us like buckets.
We just
little cum buckets.
Yeah. Well, when
you
I get,
fuck us in the ass, so your balls are hitting our balls.
Yes. No. Bitch slap you and shit. You don't bring me coffee. Yeah. And every time I sit there and watch TV, you got to rub my shoulders. With your wig on, twisted, your fucking beard, and make believe you're enjoying it. And I'm sitting there like a fucking, I'm like, I'm running things.
Like you a king and shit.
And guys come in like with messages, and I wave them in. Get off me, bitch. And I get up and smack them, and they fall down and cry, shut up. And I look at you, and I go, this will happen to you if you rub my shit. This will happen to you. Stop it.
Hilarious.
And then just out of manhood, I'll smack you too. And then I'm like, what are you on, man? I am boss, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt. White people are cutting on our tennis. Well, listen, you go out there and you give my fucking message. Right? And then while the black dude's fixing his wig, you walk up to him, you give him a message, right? You tell him I said I'm fuck around, and you smack the black dude's wig off again. All right, now get the fuck out of here. I gotta fuck this motherfucker. Suck my dick, bitch.
Isn't it crazy that's your job to think up stories like that?
Yeah.
To get super stoned and, like, come up with a whole scenario where you're the mop in of the Cuban jail?
It's not that. Who knows? This could happen to anything.
This shit is probably actually happening.
Happen, this could happen in Ebolaville. This could happen.
Hilarious.
Where's Ebolaville?
In Africa. Oh, where the fuck do you think Ebolaville is? Fucking Belly Hills?
Where they first started testing Ebola.
Jesus Christ, Lee. All right, so
that's
sorry.
Why they call it Ebola.
Lee, why you got to get me off the top? You wanted half of that Chibo Chew now?
No, those three. That story brought to you by Auntie Dolores and her cookies of death.
How were they?
How what?
Are you high right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's faded. Look at him. He's starting to look Asian.
Or are you high on the
edibles?
Are you?
Yeah.
It was only like 3 milligrams.
No, it wasn't.
You look like you're about to pass out.
Lee,
like
would I
you
lie
start,
to you?
Go ahead and start rubbing your nipples, Lee.
Would I lie to you?
Lee, there you go, Lee.
Yes, you would.
So, Lee, wait a second. Sorry that Tiffany asked. We have to discuss something.
Yes.
So break this down to me.
What's up?
You never had your nipples sucked before?
Never. Okay.
And you enjoy it. You get hot when they suck your nipples.
Yeah, it's good
and
now.
When they suck your nipples, you play with your little Cuban neck.
No.
What do? You play that like a fucking mortadello?
It doesn't happen that often. But one of the worst online dates I went on, this girl bit my nipple like hard and made it bleed. So like after that, I would tell girls to like, get away from there.
Get away from there.
He's bringing up for
don't
a reason.
Don't put your mouth on my heart.
Now you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's okay.
She just sucks them gently.
Yeah.
And what happens? Do you get erect? Do you sweat heavy?
I'm not high enough to answer that question.
No,
crazy.
What happens to you? Do you just lay there and turn like a fucking
No, he does this, what he's doing right now. Turn red and giggle and stuff.
All right, I'm just curious.
Smile all hard.
Well,
you just lay there. Do you make fun of me? Do you squeeze her nipples and tell you love her? What do you do when she fucking sucks it? You just sit there like Jesus laying there with your arms out? No. You can do something. You smack that ass, right?
What you do?
I don't know. What do you do in that situation?
I don't know. I don't like my nipples sucked. I just don't like it. It makes me feel fucked up. I never liked it. Even as a kid, I don't like that shit. There was a chick that wanted to put coke on my nipples and suck them coked up when I don't need that shit. That shit's embarrassing. There might be a camera. You're sucking my nipples. It might tickle me.
I've sucked on so many man nipples. Jesus Christ. Man, it's crazy. You just... and then you try to look up at them in their eyes. They like it. You like that shit, don't you? Look,
I didn't think I would.
He's getting moist right now thinking about it.
Didn't think you would. You like everything. You're a dirty freak.
No, I'm not going to like... He always wants me to like look at girls' asshole and disgusting stuff.
Would you like sucking your little nippy?
Yeah, what is so much like? What's the you always talking about licking assholes? What's the deal with that? Like, what's
it's a fantasy.
What's so good about it though? I mean, it's tremendous. Shit comes out of there.
No, you wash it if you take care of that thing.
Yeah,
and you have like a loofah, and you keep it up. It's beautiful. A woman's muffler should not smell like. Nothing like that.
I think mine smells like medicine.
Well, whatever. Whatever it smells like. It don't smell like that. It doesn't smell
like
that.
No, it don't smell like that.
You can't. I've never been in a woman's muffler where it smells like she just took a fucking dump. Yeah. I never really had. I don't know. I'm very, very fortunate.
Did you ever have a girl lick your butthole?
Yeah, and I didn't like it. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
I'm too uptight for that shit. I talk that big game, but I'm too uptight. I don't want to know. Look, listen, I know for a fact. My asshole is disgusting. You understand me? I would
describe your asshole right now.
When a woman sucks my asshole, I know that she's doomed. Like if a woman doesn't look at me and prejudge it, she's doomed. Why would you suck my asshole? Okay, a nice ball lick never killed. No, my balls are nice. I clean them. But my asshole, you're taking a chance. That's the way I look at it. I wouldn't go up to some chick. I would look at somebody and judge it. I could tell what their asshole smells like. You could tell by looking at the jeans.
That's your favorite activity. Like,
oh,
we're
my
sitting,
God.
We're sitting
it.
At
when
a,
I sit there,
at
I
a slot machine,
the,
and
what
every
a pussy
girl
smells like. That's it. What else?
And he knows the size, too. He's like, that's a fat pussy. And then he's like,
oh, my God, I love it.
And then
this,
that's what you do.
This really tall blonde girl walked by. He's like, her pussy's this small.
Yeah, they're beautiful, but they're 5'8 and they weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah.
When you go down there, it's two hip bones.
Oh, that's
the pussy's
sad.
Under the valley. Oh. And you hold on to it and you lick it, and there's nothing there. It's tight and it's nice, and it's nice for a while. But sometimes you want to turn up the fucking heat, you know?
Yeah, you need some meat on your monkey, right? My ex told me that my asshole tastes like chicken.
That's disgusting.
That's what he said.
That's
like,
why he's your fucking ex.
He's like, can I get some of that chicken?
That's why he's your fucking ex.
He's like, I want to eat some of that chicken.
It's really weird how you prejudge somebody sometimes. If you see a dude that weighs 500 pounds, you're not going to go, I want to suck his dick. That's not the first thing you're going to think about. Neither would us.
No, I would think I want to eat dinner with him.
But for some people, they'll look at that person and go, she's hot. Lee likes a Spanish or a sister that's got some meat on their bones.
Yeah.
When I was a freshman,
mm-hmm.
all bets were off with me. Like, I was just a regular kid. I went to school with white chicks, though, so I don't like white chicks. There was a couple in the eighth grade, like this Puerto Rican chick from Kennedy School. But besides that, there was white chicks in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to high school, it was mixed, but there was this little Sicilian chick, this little white little chick with a little Pat Benatar hairdo. And freshman year, this little freak walked by me, and I noticed something. I saw something that I had never seen on a woman before. In these pants on that particular day, I'm not meaning this in a weird way. A lot of women don't know this. A lot of young women listen to the podcast. Her, it was like you look at the vagina and you could see what's under there.
Yes, you get a camel toe.
If I like you, it's not even a camel toe. It's not a camel toe. It's just shaped a certain way. And with imagination, you could just and say, oh, my God, she's fucking beautiful. And I was in love with this girl. I would look at her mom. I would go to I was a freshman in your geometry. I would go to that class just to see what she would wear, what type of jeans. And I never told nobody. I would just go to that class, and I estimated at that time that her pussy probably weighed 40 pounds. Like it was, I would say that to myself every day.
She had a heavy pussy.
This is just things that...
Oh, heavy pussy.
Oh, my
God. You say that to yourself? You're like,
yeah.
You start off like 50? You're like, no, it's not 50 pounds, but it's more than 30 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. I fell in love with this girl because of how she was packing it. There was a certain way.
50 pounds?
It was just meaty. And it never was a camel toe. It was always meaty.
How do you know it wasn't a penis?
Because you knew it was there. Because years later, we hooked up.
Oh, okay. And was it 40 pounds?
It was tremendous.
It was tremendous. I don't understand. How do you put weight on pussy?
I don't know. That's how perverted I was at the time. That's how my mind... You know, women look at guys' feet. Women look at guys' hands. Women look at guys' bulges, their ass. Mm-hmm. Women will go, ooh, he looks kind of dirty. I know these girls one day that were telling me stories. There were two chicks hanging out, and they were just telling me how they judge men.
Mm-hmm. I look at their fingers.
Their feet, their fingers, their teeth. Mm-hmm. It's very seldom. So we also do it. But you're going to look at a dude, he looks like he got greasy hair.
Mm-hmm.
If he got greasy hair in public, you know his asshole ain't going to smell like fucking Lloyd's of London. You understand me? It's going to smell like a fucking death rot.
My grandma always taught me, dirty fingernails. If he got dirty fingernails, he got dirty dick. Just know that.
That's it.
Know that.
That's it. Dirty fingernails. How are you going to let that man stick his fingers into your vaginal fucking cave?
Yeah, you're going to get a yeast infection.
You're
going to
get something nasty. He's in there with his fucking dirty fingernails vaginosis. And shit. Me, I bite my finger, but before I go on a date, I usually, and when I was younger, I would nail file them. I don't want to hang them.
She got clean nails, though.
Yeah.
And fat fingers, that's fat dick.
No, this is tremendous. This is a savagery right shit. Mm-hmm.
The head's very round.
You're killing me. Sorry. But
I'm a peniontologist.
But it's not nothing. I'm sure any other young men did at the fucking age of 14. I just looked at it and I just felt she had a beautiful face. She had a big ass, but it was flat. But fuck it, the pussy was so tremendous. I overlooked the ass. Mm-hmm. You understand me?
What about that one and that girl in the black dress last night? It was like the Kardashian, but it like was like huge. Remember that big girl with the huge ass last night?
No, she was no Kardashian.
No, she didn't look good.
She was no fucking Kardashian.
But it just went out, I'm saying.
Oh, my God. It was, you look at people, again, you don't want to judge, but some people you look at in Las Vegas and go, you don't belong. Come here. What are you going to do here?
I feel about that way about handicapped people in casinos.
No.
They shouldn't be in casinos. You're already not lucky. What are you doing in the casino?
No. I'm talking about chicks that you look at and you're like, why are you here? Why are you here? You're taking down these three hot chicks. These three little hot chicks came for dick. And you're the fucking, what's that thing with the ship throws over? You're the anchor. You're not going nowhere because of you. They're going to keep looking at you all miserable. That's it. Me and Lee sat there by the elevator at the end of the night. And we were just talking. There was a couple with a gray tie and she had a green suit on. You reminded me. I forgot. We were fucking high. We were fucking high. Friday night I got there at 10. My flight was an hour delayed, Tiffany Haddish. Out of Burbank Airport. But between you and I didn't give a fuck because it was Vegas. I knew everything was running late anyway. I knew when I got that plane, I knew it was going to be a late. It's the last flight of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If every flight is 10 minutes late, it's the same plane, guys.
Right.
It's not like they're coming in from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps going back and forth, picking up, dropping off, picking up, dropping off. They shut down at 2, then they start again at 5. Bing, bang, mm-hmm. Bing, bang, bing, bang, till fucking 9 o'clock. They don't fly in or out of Vegas. I think you could fly into Vegas. That's the last flight. 8:35 is the last flight. That flight took off at 9:40. For fucking 20 years, I've been telling Lee, that flight's 35 minutes. But after 9/11, the prices went up, so they couldn't justify it. So they drive around Vegas a few times.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden they say it took an hour. this motherfucker, Lee, how long? I called you at 20 to fucking 10, and I landed at 10, 11, 31 yeah,
like
minutes.
10 by like, because I was getting ready to come pick you up, and I was it was 10, 15. You're like, I'm here. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Because it's right down the street.
It's right down the fucking street. Yeah, Burbank to fucking Las Vegas.
Yeah.
This mother, that was the first time ever they didn't serve peanuts or soda. They said, no, we're running into turbulence. There's no turbulence. This motherfucker said, watch this. Watch my shit.
We're here.
Watch my shit. I'm going to break the record today. 31 minutes. Boom. Bumper to bumper. Today, we got on. And the lady said it. She goes, "It's this is welcome to your 7:55 flight to Los Angeles, to Burbank. You're supposed to arrive at 9. This is a 40-minute flight." Boom. We landed at 8 fucking whatever. I got to my doorstep at 9 a.m. What the fuck you think you're getting? Yeah. You just got to know what time you got to fly and your limitations. I got into Vegas at 10:30. I took a cab to the hotel. I checked in. Everything was easy for crazy. They picked us up. We went over to the fucking...
South Point.
They have that dirty at 12:30, which Ralphie May put together. That's what I'm saying. Ralphie May put that deal together.
Oh, man.
So it's a big 300 people. You fucking destroyed
it. Yeah, the bar was packed.
Bar was packed, Tiffany Haddish. You'll fuck those motherfuckers up.
Yeah, I would.
And you'll be back in LA Saturday morning.
That's what's up.
So... we went. Lee met some people. We met my brother, Toking Lair.
Yeah.
Bad motherfucker.
I love Toking Lair.
Me too. He's a nice fucking kid. He's a savage.
Toking Lair?
We didn't hook up with him.
Is he an Indian?
No, his name is Larry. And
Toking Lair.
Don't give out his name. No names. No names.
It's okay. No names.
Right? Okay. He's a heavy duty. Should just say, yeah, he's Indian. Yeah, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you... You're not supposed
to. It's not like a secret.
Yes, it is, cocksucker. We don't release names like that. You know what I'm saying? The heavy duty people.
You never know who's listening, man.
That's right, man.
The government be all around.
Oh, shit. It's Monday. Get it together, cocksucker. You got, I don't know how many days, 15 fucking days before Christmas.
I want to be around.
16.
Yeah.
A little something Mondays to pick you up, a little TB. When
somebody breaks your heart.
Oh, my heart, my heart.
Somebody twice as smart.
No.
As I.
What?
Somebody. After the show, we'll drop that Chiba Chula.
Oh, no, go away.
What do you mean, go away?
He's like, no more drugs, no.
So, yesterday, we hooked up at what time? 5?
6.
We had a Chiba Chew. We smoked a half a number. Yeah. We went to the fights. We had nice seats. Thank you, Joe Rogan. We sat, who else came? My nephew.
Yeah. And then Joe's two friends.
And Joe's two friends came, which was cool. Justin was cool as shit.
Yeah, Justin.
We watched the fights. I got you out of there before you got caught in the fucking crowd.
Yeah, because
I took care of you like Uncle Joey.
So he told me when I got there, don't drink anything, but I had two drinks, so I had to pee. And I could see when I told you I had to pee, you were like, he's never coming back, because he thought it was too long of a walk. But I came back right before the last fight. And you guys were like, oh, we'll go to the bathroom. And you kept saying, oh, I'll be back for you. And I knew you weren't coming back.
First of all, let me break it down for you.
So you didn't come back?
Let me break it down for your fucking breadth of many units, okay? First of all, as a lot of people know or may not know, the last week and a half, I was getting that. I went swimming the one time, and then one time I went to Philadelphia, and I laid down in the tub, and I just took like a little nap. And the next day I had that shit when you spin.
Vertigo.
So I was a little nervous all week. So Thursday, I got to go to the doctor. Wednesday, he set up a dizzy thing. So this dizzy thing, you go in there, you stand on a thing. It's like a ship.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lay down, they just spin you around with goggles on.
That sounds terrible.
I got so fucking stoned.
Okay. Why did you do that?
Because the test?
I didn't know. I didn't know what it entailed. I had this weed. It was a sativa,
mm-hmm.
which never fucks me up. This New York sour diesel,
mm-hmm.
and I found it. It was nice and dry. Like I like it.
Before they started getting you around.
So the fucking test was at 12:30. This is 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Right. I need a quicker picker upper. I had Mercy in the morning. I couldn't get high. So this is my first high of the day. Do you guys follow me? Now, if you know anything about your motherfucking reefer, that first one, that's the Mac Dizzy Doozle.
Right.
That's the one that you need 30 minutes just to recover from. Your creative juices come in.
Right.
You get a little higher than usual, but sometimes you take a chance. sometimes this weed might be a lot more than what you anticipated at 12:30 in the afternoon. And this shit takes you to a different level. I always like sativas to start off the fucking morning. A strong sativa. A sativa that takes you over the top, makes you want to get out and fucking see the sun. It gets you so high that you go out in the sun.
That's that mind high that it gives you, right?
There you go. But the problem is, when you go inside, that high becomes something different, Lisa. So I smoke the sativa. I get in the fucking car. I drive over Laurel Canyon, cut a truck off on the other side of Coldwater, zip into motherfucking BV, make a fucking left, a right, deep into the heart of BV. Go to Beverly Hills, all that fucking bullshit on Wilshire, right?
BH.
Make a fucking right on whatever the fuck it is. Go all the way down to the end of hell where it meets Wilshire and the other Wilshire and the other shit where you're fucked. You make the wrong turn there.
San Vicente.
Yeah. You're fucked.
Yes.
You're fucked at 8 in the morning, okay?
Right.
Your lights are out, bitch.
Yes.
You better call up whoever you're meeting and going, let's make this for an hour later.
Okay.
Because I'm headed to fucking Huntington Beach by mistake and shit.
Right.
There better be a whale and breakfast and shit. Your day is fucked up.
Okay.
You best be paying attention. You better not be on the phone. Because your shit will get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
I make the right. I go upstairs. I go to the same doctor that I've been going since I had the ear infection. I walk in there. They put me on a sit-down. During the sit-down, I ask to pee. And when I walk out of the pee, you know how they give you the fucking big key?
Yeah.
And I go to the bathroom and open. On the way back, I'm like, oh, my God. I am fucking zapped. I go in, they got water with lemons because they're white people.
Mm-hmm.
They got water with lemons and cups and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I start drinking like 3 cups of water. I'm so fucking high. And there's a People magazine, right? And I'm reading the People magazine. And this little Puerto Rican dude looking motherfucker comes out and he goes, Joey, Jose, come on in. And they sit me down. They're trying to break it down for me. This really fucking happened. Tiffany Haddish. And they go, all right, get on this thing and look out the window. Now, when I go into a room, if it don't have a window, that shit gives me anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So they got a window, and I stand on this thing, and you have to close your eyes for 30 seconds and breathe. And that was cool, dizzy. But then they sat me down, and they put me in like a dentist chair. But at the same time, but they put these goggles over my eyes. Dog, my shit got dark, right? My shit got dark. I was really stoned.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what your mind naturally does. When I was a kid, I used to go to the planetariums in New York City and watch The Who and The Yes. And what you do is you put goggles on and they play all this shit and you see like stars, but they're playing music. It was the same thing to me. So my eyes were closed. Guys, they kept saying, please, Mr. Diaz, open your eyes. Please, Mr. Diaz, open your eyes. And I could see my eye through one of the lens. And I was so high, it wouldn't open. So finally, the guy had to stand behind me and open my one eye. And finally, he goes, that's it. Put tape on it. They put fucking tape on my fucking eye, guys. They put tape on my eye.
I can't believe they didn't say, come back, not high.
No, they knew. I even tell the guy, my eye is open, you fuck. My eye is open. Stop. What the fuck? My eye is open. And he's like, look at the tape. My eye would not open. My eye was doomed. Doomed. I got there in 40 minutes. I drove home. Oh, my God. So now I go to the UFC.
Yeah.
Now, you know I'm crazy. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, so.
I've known you long enough to know that.
I had a Chiba Chew. I had a, what's the name of the
brownie? Sokine Brownie.
Sokine Brownie. And we had some tremendous weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I blasted. Usually the quarter of the Sokine Brownie kills Lee. I blasted the whole Sokine Brownie.
The half kills me. I can do the quarter.
I blasted the whole one. You want a piece of Chiba Chew?
Sure.
Let's go deep tonight. Lee's sitting there going, Joey, you're holding
I can't do anymore.
You listen, you're the fucking catalyst. You're the backbone of the organization. So I fucking, I eat the Sokine Brownie. I meet Lee. I smoke a joint. On the way there, I eat 60% of this fucking Chiba Chew, 70% of it. And I walk down the stairs, and I'm looking at these stairs, and I'm going, this is how fucking crazy reefer is and life is. And I know people go through this. I start saying to myself, what if I have to pee, and on the walk up, I get vertigo.
Oh, shit.
In front of all these people, and I fall down the fucking stairs. Lee, You don't know what kind of anxiety it is. Like,
you're walking into the amazing show and you're like, what if I fall down? And what happened?
Oh my God, Lee, that's all I kept thinking about. What if I fall in front of all these fucking people, right? How fucking embarrassing is this? So I sit down and it's cracking. This is cracking. The energy's great, but every time these people applaud, I'm getting higher and higher.
Yeah, because they're raising the vibration up in the
room.
It's
fucking death threats. Then all of a sudden the fucking thing comes on. Now I'm also thinking about, we were so close that you really could see the cage, but there was parts of the cage you couldn't see, so you were automatically drawn to go up. Dog, when you go up, you get vertigo. And I kept thinking, I kept trying to take
it. And you get dizzy.
And focusing on the thing, and then I had to pee like a motherfucker. If you notice, I drank water. I kept it light. I sipped that water throughout the whole show. I didn't guzzle it like a fucking gavon. I usually go through 8 of those waters during a fucking 3-hour fight.
Mm-hmm.
They give them to you for free, right? They give you free shit. It was free. You had to tip them. All you had to do was tip them. They give you hot dogs, pretzels, booze, right? Or they charge you for
the
booze.
Well, you paid $800 and something for the seat. Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
These are tickets.
You better come over.
Right? Or you pay them.
There was a mean waitress who just said, like, I can get you one drink, but you don't have the ticket for free drinks. Or I don't know. I only had 2 drinks. I never really got drunk and high at the same time. That was interesting.
No, you got drunk, but you got high later.
No, I was high earlier because we took the...
I was so fucking stoned during the fights when Pettis fucking pinned... When Pettis submitted, Melendez, I was so high at that fucking point, and I kept thinking, I got to walk up those stairs. This is my time. I got to go behind people and slow it up. Because if I fucking fall backwards, this is going to be horrendously bad.
You're going to wipe out everybody.
My anxiety was mind-boggling.
It's like a rhinoceros running downstairs.
Oh, my God. My anxiety was mind-boggling. I felt bad for the people. I felt bad for my friends. I felt bad for myself. I would embarrass Joe Rogan. I would embarrass Lee. Because if Lee fell backwards, I keep walking up the fucking stairs.
Right.
I don't know nobody. Who's that little guy? He's yelling Joey. I don't know him. He's some dude that staggered on. He was sitting there. I don't know. He wants to take a picture. What a shame. I mean, what am I going to do? So that's all I kept thinking about Lee.
Yeah.
So after Gilbert Melendez fight, I kept thinking, what if I wait for the other fight to happen and I'm walking out with 2,000 people and I fall? Because if I got to stand there, I'm definitely going to get anxiety. If I have to stand there and wait, you know, like one at a time, like, ha, 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 that was a great fight, wasn't it? Yeah. Ha, ha. If I had to do that all the way up to the top, I would have had anxiety and fainted right there. That's why I left when I left. And we had a better time.
You're so sensitive, man.
No, you always do that.
What's that?
I said you're so sensitive,
man. It's not that I'm sensitive, man. I kept thinking that I was going to fall and get dizzy. That's a complete different game, mama. When you don't know when this motherfucker's going to hit you. 2 weeks ago, I had it in Philadelphia. I woke up one morning. That motherfucker don't come knocking. You know, vertigo don't come knocking. Vertigo doesn't come with like a little warning. Hey, in 30 minutes, your world's about to get rough. I went to bed fine. I was stoned as fuck. I smoked a couple fucking numbers. I went back to my hotel room. I took an Aleve. I drank a coffee. And I watched.
Damn, an Aleve and a coffee and weed?
Yeah.
That's a crazy combination, yo.
And I watched some television.
That's a suppressant. Depressants, another suppressant than a acceptance.
Whatever, but I'm up, I'm on the road. It's right. Friday night. I don't really have to wake up Saturday morning and do press. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get a little extra sleep. I don't give a fuck. I go to bed at 2 or 3. You watch a Law and Order.
Yeah,
maybe you get a couple notes. You put the fucking earphones on.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to YouTube. Play some old down. I put Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck it is. Boom. Yeah, there goes your night. I went to bed like any other night at 3 in the morning. And at 4, I had to wake up to pee 5:30. And my shit, when I got up, my shit started spinning, dog.
Uh-huh.
I fell backwards. You don't know what the fuck's cracking. You don't know if you ate something at the comedy club. You don't know if a motherfucker dosed you. You don't know. You start breathing. You finally get up. You have to turn the light on. There ain't no motherfucking light. You got to go to the bathroom, turn the bathroom light on. You take your dick out. It's spinning the room.
The dick's spinning.
The room's spinning.
The room is spinning.
You piss. You walk back to the bed. You're still spinning.
Spinning is terrible.
It's terrible. You breathe a little bit and it goes away, and you fall asleep.
Okay, wait a minute. This happens every time you have to pee.
No. This just happened 2 weeks ago. It never happened That happened about 5 years ago when I had an ear infection.
Oh,
I went swimming, got sick, and then went on a plane. You can't travel when you're with a cold. So I got an ear infection. So that, I was at a gym one day, and my shit got all fucked up. I started hearing shit. And then 2 weeks later, I went to the San Jose Improv. You ever worked at the San Jose Improv? Well, the San Jose Improv got that McCormick and Schmitz. I went in there for the happy hour like a Puerto Rican that I And they put me in a chair all the way to the back, guys. And I had the ear infection, and my hearing was off. So it threw the motherfucking room off, right? Meanwhile, I'm dipping my shit in the clam chowder. What? Watching like a Dodger game or some shit. And I started thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to pass out. What am I going to do? Am I going to fall here? Or am I going to make it to the motherfucking door? So I was getting anxiety of making it to the door. I would hate to pass out in front of people. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's the truth. What a fucking nice restaurant. And Tiffany passes out. I don't know what the fuck to do. I love Tiffany. So I would never want to put you people in that predicament.
Yeah, I wouldn't want
to. That's why I was that's why I had so much anxiety towards the end at the fight. That's why I got
But you do that. You have to said you like to leave early. Because, yeah, it took like 30, 40 minutes for that whole arena to exit. But you also had another good idea. Because it was like 3 or 4 hours after the Chupa Chu. And we got a hot dog, and I wasn't going to get one because it was going to be dinner. But then it was like 3 more hours until dinner, and that hot dog was pretty good.
No, listen, I know the timing. I've been to 1,000 of those fucking fights.
Yeah.
But I was so high after that. I was so fucking high
like at that fight. Like
I
am right now?
I kept looking down because I kept catching myself. And I go, I'm going to get vertigo. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I was playing with the baby, and I picked the baby up. And I'm like, this, oh, my God. Thank God my wife was in the room. I just put her on the fucking couch, and I fell to my hands and knees. Listen, this afternoon, let me tell you what happened.
What if your wife would have jumped in front and said, that's right, bow down, bitch, bow down.
Before I do these shout-outs, let me tell these motherfuckers what happened today. So today I get off the plane, I go home, I play with the baby. They got to do some errands. I sit there, I get my week straight. I get the suitcase cleaned out. I put water in the sleep apnea machine. I clean the mask. I do all that shit, and the phone rings. And I recognize the number. It's my old coke dealer. Mm. And I love this motherfucker. I still talk to him, you know, once a month. And he calls me. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, listen, I need a big favor. I go, what's up? He goes, make some calls for me. I'll call your boy. See if I can put a fucking $1,000 on the Raiders. And I go, Raiders? Really? He goes, they're going to fuck San Francisco up. I'm going to show these motherfuckers what's cracking. He goes, I just came back from up there. Swing by, I'll hook you up. And I'm like, nah, I'm all right. He goes, please call me back. I really want to fucking bet the Raiders. See what the score was, dog.
I know the Raiders won.
The Raiders blew him out. That's fucking amazing. I forgot to call him back. I called the kid, the bookie. The fucking phone was on message, and I left him a message, and he never called me back. So I spaced it. I spaced calling my buddy back.
Yeah. 24-13.
Yeah, they beat him. Oh, wow. And they're right. They were 1-8.
They
fucking
was going crazy out there.
1-something, yeah.
So this is my old coke dealer.
Mm-hmm. He must have had an inside tip or something.
Listen to what I used to do to him. I used to call him up in the old days. 10 years ago, I'd call him up every Sunday. I go, what's going on? Nothing. Who do you like today? And he go, really? Yeah, who do you like? See who you like. And he'd call me back. And he'd give me a winner. And I'd talk him out of it. And then I go, you want to bet? Yeah. And I go, what do you want to bet? 200. And I go, all right, I'll call you later. And I'd call him back. And go, and I'd sit on the bet. And he'd lose. And then I'd wait 2 days, go over there and get paid in cocaine. He never figured out. Every week he lost. I think one time he fucking won. How crazy is that?
Mm.
So this shit we do, Tiffany Haddish, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Look at you, a beautiful woman. Let me give some shout-outs. We got to talk about something.
Yeah, let's shout out.
What's up, Lisa? Yeah, you bad motherfucker. 47 floating. 747, I love you. Rusty Cole, Tommy P, Corey Layton, Thomas Caldwell, and Ryan Knoll. Stay black, cocksuckers. I love you to death. What else, Lee? Tell me something good. You haven't said much today? You're sitting there like a mook on heat.
Tell me what something happened? Good.
Those chocolates get to you yet?
Yeah, these chocolates are fucking
me up. He's blinking like a pretty ass cat.
They're fucking me up. We haven't had Auntie Dolores in a while.
I know. She sent us a box. I want to give a shout out to Auntie Dolores. Sent us a box. We're going to do Hanukkah the right way this year. We're going to light the menorah and eat an edible out of respect for the Jews. Because we don't fuck around here. Lee's been wanting to do this for years.
No, I haven't.
You know, he didn't want to do the 30-30, so I said, let's do one better. Let's celebrate your people. Let's eat a fucking edible every night from the 16th to the 24th. Out of respect, we'll light the menorah. What we'll do is we'll fucking unwrap the edible and we'll throw it in a yarmulke or whatever and we'll pop it.
In a yarmulke?
Like a fucking, like a tent. Like, what do you call those things? Like a trampoline.
A yarmulke?
Yeah.
It's like a trampoline?
Listen, disregard
what a yarmulke looks
saying.
Like fried bologna to me.
You know what the fuck I'm saying, okay? What I'm saying is we're going to eat an edible for 8 days straight. That's the least we could do for that's the least you could do for the church of what's happening now. You're a soldier. That's why I have you in training. Where's that chibuch? You ready to eat a little piece of chibuch?
Yeah, no. You done said, you told me like 5 minutes ago, and you said you were going to pull it out.
And what do you got to do tomorrow? You got nothing. You got the day off tomorrow. You got nothing to do tomorrow but sit
why
there.
Why
are
you
like,
peer pressuring him when I said I want it, son?
Because he needs
I mean, damn, Joey.
He needs a piece. Look at
no, he don't. Yes, he's going to be sleeping a minute.
He's not looking good tonight. He's still looking good.
He's about to be.
He's playing me.
Playing with his nipples in a second.
I can tell when he's really.
He's like, oh my God, unicorns are everywhere.
No, trust me. You don't want to cheat with shit. What else you got going on? So, the reason why you're on this show, and I got to be as honest, I've known you for a long time.
That part.
But I didn't see you. I don't really see you, you know.
I don't be seeing you either.
I know you do spots at the Laugh Factory Hollywood a lot, and mm-hmm. I see your name at different clubs. And then about a month ago, I go to the Laugh Factory in Houston. And this is in Long Beach, one of my favorite places in the world.
I love performing there, too.
I love Long Beach. You know why? Because there's no drama.
Mm-hmm.
You get there, you know where you stand. Every time I go to Hollywood, I got to park the fucking car. I got to walk in. They're doing 30 minutes behind. The street people want to bump you.
Mm-hmm.
You went through all this motherfucking shit to get bumped at this age?
Yeah.
Come on. That's Tuesday night shit.
Yeah.
It's Thursday night. Come on, Jamie. Come on. And I love Jamie. At least he hooks me up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is call the motherfucker. I mean, this guy went from not liking me to at least giving me spots. You know? So I go to the Laugh Factory. I'm sitting there stoned. Sometimes you sit in the left. Sometimes you sit in the... And you know what? You're forced, like, and I'm very happy to be back at the Comedy Store because now I'm forced to watch live comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, guys, I know that there's comedy shows on television and we all have DVDs and video specials and the whole thing. I love watching a good HBO special. I came up on an HBO special. The way they shoot it, the way everything about an HBO special I've always liked. And we all have the different generational mm-hmm. gaps. Which we like, whatever period, you know. I like the young comedian stuff. I like the Hick stuff at those years, the Kennison stuff on HBO. I like all that, you know. Everybody, you may like the newer stuff, Sarah Silverman or Bill Burr. I don't know if he's on HBO. And you might like whatever the fuck you like. I don't know what the fuck.
I like everybody.
Everybody. So we all have different fucking tastes. So for me, an HBO special is it. But I gotta be honest with you. There's something about watching a comic live. Let's say you like Tiffany, and you know what? What the fuck do you do with your time? I remember being a kid and following a band, you know,
mm-hmm.
for a couple months. And really, on the other side, you just go out one night. And if you go to LA clubs. And you go out 4 nights a week, you're going to see a lot of the same comedians. And some nights they're going to go up there 3 nights in a row, they're going to go up there and do the same fucking shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And you may like them or not dislike them. But you know what? Other nights, you're going to see something else come out of them. You're going to see their soul come out. Something that with me only used to happen at the Comedy Store. That's why I know how powerful the Comedy Store is. And it comes from doing a lot of sets at a certain club over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a lot of sets. And after a while, you just get so comfortable. And every once in a while, your mind drifts. Like, you just go somewhere. And some nights, Lee, you tell a joke, man. There's something about that joke that it might get them. But some nights, it's the way you deliver that joke.
Yeah.
That just destroys that room. And it's maybe putting your foot out and bouncing. Or living that motherfucker. You just let your body go. And the audience feels it. Because me, as a comedian, I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel that from a comic, that's when you know that person become a comedian. For years, I went up there and just told jokes. And oh my God, he's so funny. Where does he get those jokes? But it took 15 years to click on to get a certain confidence, a certain mm-hmm. believing. I was scared shitless the other night at that South Point. I didn't want to go up. That's the last thing I want to do, is go up at 12:30 at night in front of 300 fucking real people. That you can't go up there with L.A. jokes.
Right.
You know, like the Sunset Strips jokes, yeah. And you go up there. So I did this film one time with Jennifer Lopez, and in the scene, she slipped, right? And they're like, Jennifer Lopez, it's Friday night at 12:30.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with fucking Asian fucking playing ping pong all fucking afternoon over there at the Golden Nugget. I want to fucking laugh, okay?
Right.
And you come over here, and you're up there. No, you had to bring them. I opened up with some dirty shit, and they were kind of weird. And I remember before I left, I said, I'm doing my bits tonight. I'm going to have enough confidence in my bits tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and did my bits. And I did perfect. I did what I was supposed to do because I had a plan. I knew where to take it. I was going to fuck with them a little bit, but I had 7 or 8 minutes. I knew if I took them there and sold it.
Mm-hmm.
At 12:30, you got to commit, Jack. They got a feeling, oh, fuck, this guy's right. Bringing 8:30 type of shit to the show. Because if you go up there and do your same let, if you go up there and do a 12:30 show, they're going to feel a 12:30 show. Right. It's a disaster. You got to give them an 8:30 show.
Mm-hmm.
That was what was in my mind. I had to wake him up a little bit late.
The energy.
I had to flip him about. That energy is the whole thing, you know?
You know what's crazy? I'm not usually a huge fan of, like, the 20-minute sets. As a comedy fan going to the club, I like a headliner more. But you're one of the people who actually, like, that 15-20-minute set was crazy.
That was perfect.
Because during an hour, you would have to slow down a little bit. You'd have a heart attack.
Right.
But you just didn't stop for, like, 20 minutes.
I'd rather pound you. I want to pound you. My style is to pound you. You know, but to take it back a couple of weeks ago, when you do sets in L.A., I go to the Comedy Store. Every 4 or 5 people, you see somebody who gets into a different place, and they deliver it. And that's what I mean. A couple of weeks ago, I saw you go there.
Mm-hmm.
You went there in between bits, and you had gone there one time. And I was like, look at Tiffany Haddish. Bring out a different type of heat. And I didn't say nothing to you. You came back. And then you went to bring me out, and I was sitting there. And I was enjoying Tiffany so much that I didn't want to go up. That's when you know. That's when you know. There's a difference between somebody doing good and you being jealous of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between somebody doing good and you being scared to follow them. But there's a difference between somebody being in front of you and they're doing so well, they're not threatening you. But you're feeling them so much, you don't want them to get off the stage.
You enjoying it.
I'm living it. She was telling the thing about her grandma, that the pussy is your house. You got to keep the bushes trimmed.
Yeah, you got to keep it clean.
But she became her grandmother.
Yeah.
Or whoever character she might be doing. Because sometimes you're thinking, grandma,
something else is coming up.
This is my Aunt Sherelle.
Yeah.
But I can't tell the audience that because they're not going to understand Sherelle.
Yeah.
I just talked about my Aunt Bonnie in the front. I'm going to confuse these motherfuckers. I don't want them to think. So grandma just cleans it up.
Right.
Grandma cleans it up. You don't have to commit to the name, just grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really weird that you took me there. And I go, you know what? I got to get her on the podcast because I want her to know that you're there.
Thank you.
And you're hiding. You're hiding. They got you hidden. You're like in the witness relocation plan.
That part.
You got to get with the agency that pushes sisters to just drop you in them. And I know you're at the right agency. Mm-hmm. You made the movie of all with the same fucked up band. But you're like in that shuffle right now. You're next.
Transitioning up to the top of the deck of the cards.
You're next. You know?
She ready. Let's go.
You're like Renee Zellweger before that movie. You know, she was at the laundromat. And she was out of quarters. And she got the call from Tom Cruise.
That's the call
that you always wait for when you're out here.
Mm.
And not because you sucked his dick, but because you auditioned 8 times.
Yeah.
And the last 2 times were in front of that motherfucker.
Right, and you
killed. Before they give you those type of movies that you got to go with Tom Cruise, they got to shoot you from this direction, that direction, make sure you're tall. You're not taller than him with heels. Make sure you can run next to him and you're smaller than him.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go to 19 auditions. And then read with him,
because
everybody wants to make, you know, he's getting $20 million in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to want to come out of the shadows. Very seldom that I have to read with somebody. But every once in a while, there's a motherfucking room without you knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Which throws a fucking left wrench in your fucking head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing when you go in a room and, you know, somebody's in there, you're like, That's it. And you go up and you have that paper in your hand and your hand starts shaking.
Yeah, because you're so nervous. I hate that shit. And you be feeling like, oh my God, am I fucking up right now? I don't care. I'm just going to live this life. I'm just in this slice of life right now. I'm just I'm just a prostitute.
And then you give up.
Yeah, and then halfway through you're just like, fuck it.
You say, you know what? Fuck it. You're already thinking about your next role. Well, Ralphie may say he's going to take me on tour. And Lee say he's going to put me on the ninth spot. And all of a sudden you just click it on. And they even say, hold on 1 second. Do it again from the start. Now you got something.
Yeah.
I'm taking this motherfucker somewhere. Even though I fucked up, he knows it. He was there. He's a real actor. They're not going to throw you out, Lee.
Right.
If they're real, they're going to go, let him read it again. He showed some. And now you get it together. You close your eyes. You take a breath. You think of your fucking family, why you got there. You think of how you want to sling dick. And bam, you put that motherfucker down in front of whoever. And all of a sudden, the motherfucker starts talking to you. He goes, let me get in there with you. And you actually start reading one. The first time you're nervous, the second time you start rocking and rolling, and then you get something out of him, and then everybody's laughing. You close, you win the scene, you know what I'm saying? Even though it's not on paper, you have to think of something. This is where you're a comedian. This is where you...
Button up the room,
up the fucking room. Bam! Leave him with something to smile about. Tell him what your name, your fucking serial number is, and you just keep walking, motherfucker. Let them go. What was that spirit that just walked in? What?
Yep. They always tell me, oh, you were a breath of fresh air. We knew you weren't right for the part. I mean, blonde hair, blue eyes. But it was just great to have you here today. You're refreshing.
Now, when did you get on stage the first time?
In 1997.
Where?
At the Laugh Factory.
No shit?
Mm-hmm.
1997.
Yep. I'll never forget it because I had got on the news and everything. But Princess Diana had died and bumped me from the news. And then I didn't get to get my segment showed until I went back to school.
Oh, my God. And then when did I meet you?
You met me in 2002, 2003.
No shit.
Yeah, I met you 2003. No, 2004, because then we were standing outside of 2005, I met you in the office first at JKA.
And then I would bump into you, and I always heard you were struggling, because sometimes, like I said, you bump into people, and all of a sudden one day you go out to do spots, and you go, what happened to Tiffany Haddish? And then a year later, you're taking the train, and there's Tiffany Haddish with a kid, and you're like, weren't we together at the Laugh Factory, and you were taking them to the top? You had a deal at the fucking Brad Pitt company. You're like, yeah, well, the deal fell through. Jamie Masada did this, but all of a sudden, I got married, got a kid. I live in fucking West Hills now, and with a bunch of.
That's not my story.
No, and not at all. That's what I'm saying.
I ain't that bitch. You must be talking about somebody else.
Yeah, no, I kept hearing about that. Because I got married, and all of a sudden I would just hear little things about Tiffany from motherfucking Haddish. That's it. That's what I'm saying. That a lot of motherfuckers give up.
Right.
You didn't give up. I met you in 2005. You already had a couple of years under you.
Yeah.
You know, most pretty girls, this the fuck appear.
I hear that. I've seen it now over the years. I'm noticing it. But, like, I remember when I first met Corey Holcomb, he was like, baby girl, you need to just give up on this. You don't need to be no damn comedian. You need to just go on, meet you somebody rich. There's too many rich motherfuckers out here. You a pretty girl. Just get pregnant. You know, get pregnant by a rich dude. Maybe get 2 or 3 rich baby daddies and just call it a fucking day. Because it's comedy. You ain't built for this. You ain't ready to, like, you ain't going to last through this. And now he sees me. Now it's like 11 years later. He's like, yo, I'm sorry.
They got a bunch of respect for you.
You doing it. Yeah, I'm proud of you, girl. They got a bunch of
respect for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think women have to work a little hard. And I hate that slogan. You're a fucking comedian.
Yeah, I'm a comedian.
You've earned that shit.
Now, I hate when they be like, are you ready for a female? No, how about are you ready for a funny motherfucker? Yeah. Are you ready for a funny comedian? How about that? Yeah.
It's really...
Because I could have a penis in a drawer.
The last 5 years, you've heard little things from people. Just jerk offs. I mean, I say a lot of crazy things, but there's just jerk offs who would say women aren't funny.
Yeah, and all I have to say to them is, who the first person to make you laugh? Your mama.
Lucille Ball.
Your mama.
And my mama.
Your mama was the first person to make you laugh. Think about it. Or was you just not a giggling baby? You just didn't laugh at shit. That's bullshit. All of us laugh. First person to make you laugh is your mama. So what you saying, if women ain't funny, your mama ain't funny, fuck you, suck my dick.
No, it's pretty.
That's how I feel about it. That shit makes me
laugh. My mom used to make me laugh, but Lucille Ball took me there. Lucille Ball took everybody there, unless you're a fucking Mormon. You know, Lucille Ball made everybody laugh. So for a statement like that to come out, that women aren't funny in general, even if you just said, yeah, most women aren't funny, Lucille Ball was funny.
Yeah.
I'll respect you then. But you're not giving laughs to nobody, you know. You're just saying in general. So that's always been a stupid statement. Me, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to argue with you on Facebook. What do I give a fuck? What difference is going to make?
I'll argue with your ass.
I never knew you like Lucille Ball so much.
Lucy is the shit.
No, she's great, but like you were like really.
Do you know that Lucy started out as a dramatic actress? She was an actress and a singer first, just a dramatic actress and singer, and then she got like by a fluke got a role in a comedy and killed that shit. And they just start giving her more comedies, and then she start buying up studios, buying up projects, like boom, getting it, radio superstar. She the shit.
It's not that I liked her. How can you not watch those shows? I don't know how many episodes there were, but how can you not watch any of those shows and not have two favorites that you don't sit there and laugh at? The ones with the cake,
with the chocolates.
The ones with the pizza, the chocolate, the sexaholic, muckaholic. You know, there's six or seven, maybe three.
I like when she tried to be like a dancer, one of his background dancers. Whenever she would do that, I love that
Ricky was the shit.
Yes.
Ricky was the shit. Let's figure it. Listen, Eddie Murphy did a whole thing on him on Delirious. Mm-hmm. Ricky Ricardo, that's 1950. A Spanish dude on your TV? Stop it. Stop it with those pointy shoes with Mambo.
Fucking a crazy white bitch.
Come on, guys. And they ended up fucking making studios. You know, when you go to Michelli's in Hollywood, that's where they did the famous pizza scene where she's throwing the pizzas up. They did it right there on the street, right in Michelli's, right fucking there. Lucille Ball stood there. So for me, how can you say a statement like that?
She owned half of Paramount.
Yeah, so, like. But it was just. I laughed at the lady who just died. She said some shit. I remember
Joan Rivers. Oh my God, she's hilarious.
When I was a kid, she went off on Prince's girlfriend.
Apollonia?
One of those hoes. She went off on the Tonight Show. She said to her that how can you like Prince? He makes Michael Jackson look like a Green Beret and all this shit. You know, I liked her. I remember that stupidity, those little jokes. Uh-huh. God knows how many women I've thought that are just, you know, to me, I like that. When a woman makes me laugh, that's attractive to me.
Right? That's sexy, right? That's attractive.
So Wood that statement, so I know it's like, sometimes when I hear, it's only happened like three times the last couple of years where some jerk off has written his hand and said that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can just imagine, they say something like that about guys. Guys ain't fun. Whatever the fuck. Who gives a fuck about these people? What do they know?
Right.
How hard it is to be a prick. And you got married since I last saw you, divorced?
Because
for a while you were living in fucking 80 miles from here.
Yeah, because I got married and he tried to move me away. He's trying to take me away from my art. He thought I was going to quit. He's so stupid. I love talking on the microphone. I love being in front of people. It's my medicine. It's my everything. It's what saved my life, I feel like. Like, it gave me a voice. It made me feel like, you know, people care. And even if they don't give a fuck, it makes me feel good as shit. And I'm going to keep on doing that till I die.
It saves you in a way.
Yeah.
It gives you hope. Even when you're in the beginning of it and you're fucking doing creepy shit and you're hooking up. I used to wait at night to see who would lose their fucking phones at the Comedy Store. I would wait. Yeah. I would sit by the thing and people go, hi, I just found this in the chair. And I'm with fucking... The guy at the door would take it and put it right under here, and he would step out, and I'd go back there and take the fucking phone and sell it the next day for $45 on Crenshaw Boulevard.
Hilarious.
To some black dudes that years later ended up robbing a bank.
Wow.
In L.A., and they all got arrested, and they closed the store. They used to hang out at the Comedy Store. You have no fucking idea, Lisa.
How do you find, like, when you have a phone, how do you find where to sell that? Like, how did you end up at that guy's store?
Okay, there was a guy, there was a black dude in the early 2000s who hung out at the Comedy Store that was the real deal. And he was somebody's sugar daddy, like one of those black comedians that's badass.
Mm-hmm.
I just forget what her name was. He was one of the sugar daddies.
Mm-hmm.
And he would hang out, and we became friends. We would giggle. He was old school from like either Detroit or Chicago, one of those black cities where they're real black. You know what I'm saying? They're real black.
Real urban.
But he was really a gangster. And he did things. Like, I forgot what the fuck. I don't know if he gave us blow. He liked a friend of mine. He was friends with a friend of mine, and we met. And he told me he was in the cell business. And I asked him, I go, what are you doing? He goes, I buy and sell them. So we know somebody who's got a cell phone. That's all I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just wait around at night at the Comedy Store. And in those weeks, in those days, three people a week were turning cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call him and either come get him or I would drive him to Crenshaw and he'd give me $100.
That's what's up.
And I'd have money on a Friday night. But years later, they robbed something. They were producing comedy shows.
Mm.
And one day I asked around. There was cops at the Comedy Store. I go, what's going on? They go, they're here because that dude robbed the bank and got away with it. But they're looking for the money. They got away with like $18 million. So they threw him in jail for contempt. Something fucking, these guys got away with it.
Wow.
They weren't just little fucking black dudes on roller skates.
They're not stupid.
No. Mm-mm. They had it planned. They were like professionals at this shit. So it's just, you never know who you're going to meet, man. You know what
I mean? I've never seen a black dude on a roller skate.
It's because what? You're slipping, cocksucker. That's why.
Black dudes used to always be on roller skates.
Fuck,
back in
who
the
you
day.
Think invented? What do you think? These white dudes invented fucking roller skates?
I don't
black
know.
People invented the roller skates.
Get it together.
Get it together. You're right. Slipping and shit.
Yeah, white boy.
What do you now? You made a transition, mm-hmm. and you've been shooting a bunch of movies, right? You've been going to Atlanta and
shooting movies, shooting TV shows.
You're in this new Chris Rock movie?
No.
He don't know about you yet. Yes, he does.
He knows who I am.
He knows who
he you know are. About this Haddish, but I wasn't willing to do it. Was called for in the scene. I didn't feel comfortable
oh, really?
With that scene.
Did you go to read for it?
Yeah, I went to read for a couple of roles in it, and then they said they wanted me to do this where these like ratchet girls or whatever, which is cool. I could play ratchet, but I just couldn't do the part where like, I just didn't want to. I don't even know if it's still in the movie or not, but in the script it was very not cool with me. You know, I don't want no white stuff on my face on camera.
Okay.
And that's it.
It truly
is. But I think he's great.
It's a great listen.
It looks like it's going to be super hilarious.
Yeah, it looks good. He's got everybody in there doing a couple days. I've always liked Chris Rock. But you get into the black market. You know, sometimes you get in with the guy with Atlanta, which you did.
Yeah, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry. I'm doing a series with him. A drama.
You got to start somewhere. And then you branch out into the white markets, whatever. Nothing wrong with being on BET. I know motherfuckers who give you a finger to be. I'd love to be on a show on BET as a fucking co-sponsor, some jumping up and down, dropping it from the 70s.
Yeah, I'm on that Real Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin.
Are you really?
Yeah, okay. On BET.
You don't fuck around. This is what I'm talking about. Who do you think
you're
doing?
No, I'm out here working.
You're
I'm here grinding. I'm always trying to do something. I just created my own little talk show called 2.5 Women, where it's me, my psychotherapist, and my little dog. She's a Maltese Yorkie mix. She a white bitch. That's the half. And so it's 2.5 Women. And yeah, we just be talking about stuff that's going on in the world, like booty injections, like what's really going on, why is bitches burning their ass out to have ass that ain't even like all that, like dudes don't even really give a fuck, like you said about the girl, like her ass was flat but the pussy was tremendous, right? So like just focus on what you do got, bitch. You got no cheeks with fat lips, work them motherfuckers, you know?
The first thing I noticed when I went to Vegas the other day were beautiful women. Okay, now I'm married, I'm not looking at a woman to fuck them. Besides, I'm humble in bed. It wouldn't matter. I just look at you now just to look at you because I'm a fucking man. And I look at women and they got gigantic tits and they walk past me and they got the worst fucking ass you've ever seen in your life. It's like going out.
Have you been to Atlanta?
It's like going out washing your pussy but not brushing your teeth.
I've done that a few times
it's
in
like
life.
It's like going out and... You know, like doing dumb shit. I'm an ass man, but I look at me. If you were missing a hip, I'd still eat your fucking half a hip. You know, but it's like it looks weird. If you're gonna have fake tits, balance it out.
Yeah, with some ass.
Save half the tit. You know, I want to look half of it. I want, you know, I like a pretty woman. What's that chick from Blue Bloods? The chick that Tom Brady dumped to be with.
Oh, yeah.
Giselle, you know, Tom Brady was.
Oh, yeah.
The white chick, Moynihan.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that bitch. That bitch is a top notch model. She was in the bar, the movie about the bar with the chicks dancing on the bar. From
the Coyote Ugly.
Yeah, she was in the movie with Will Smith. She plays the fucking Martian chick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know what I like about her the most? She got little titties.
Me, too.
Yeah.
I got little titties and a nice ass.
But, you know. I like women.
That's what you like better the most.
I like women when you're telling me something. You're making a statement. You believe in your face and your ass and your pussy. You didn't bail on your pussy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't put it all up here like this. You know when you're out at a bar or something, when you, especially when you're young, we get overpowered by a chick who rubs her titties on you. There's a woman, when a chick's a runaway, mm-hmm. and she's trying to get attention, her tits get there first. Mm-hmm. You know, they show them to you, so you got tits. It's their fucking weapons of mass destruction. You know, they rub it up on your fucking arm. Then as you get older, you're like, come on, you can come over with a better trick there, magician.
Oh, I always like to try to get to lick. If I can get a good conversation in where I can lick a guy's cheek, then I usually win by then.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Why are you going to lick a man's cheek?
Yeah, if I can lick a man's cheek, I usually win at that point. I'm getting it's whatever dark. I want.
You can't see we got a blackhead on his fucking cheek. You want to lick his fucking cheek? No.
Yeah, if I lick his cheek, that's it.
You don't want
to... And if they let me get that close to where I can lick their cheek, I know I'm winning.
That's a different attractive to me when I see a woman with a beautiful face.
I'd be like, damn, look at you, baby.
And little tits.
What's up?
That really attracts me.
You like
me.
Little titties?
It's not that I
like
them.
To get my little titties sucked.
No, no, it's not that. It's not,
what's up?
It's not
I mean, that, come on.
It's not that I like them.
Suck my titties, I suck yours.
No, no, it's not that I like them. You know what I like about the situation? That you're telling me I didn't go get fake tits just to make me look beautiful.
No.
It's a different type of beauty you're telling me. So I dig it. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
my soul is sexy.
I'm not saying
and if you want me to look more beautiful, I can take all these clothes off if you could pay all my bills.
No. Yeah. You're paying your own bills right now.
I know,
I fucking
do.
Life. You're making it happen. I do. Beyonce showing up with that fucking baby. You know what I'm saying? Later on to try to get more money out of you. Making
she
bad
getting
music.
It too. She's what are you talking about? That music is good. I'll be jamming to
like
Beyonce.
I like On the Run. But when the fuck did she ever go on the run? When was the last time she robbed the fucking liquor store?
Never.
Her and fucking.
But she robbing our pockets every fucking, day. We buying her
who's
shit.
She trying to be? Bonnie and Clyde. Stop. Yeah. Stop. I mean, they're on the run, but they only come back to you. What the fuck, Lisa? I look at you. Ready for achievement, you cocksucker?
I have no idea what just happened.
I don't know what happened either.
Do you think they like can
my girl's
this,
here.
What just happened?
Where you at next weekend?
Next weekend, where am I? I'm probably going to be at the Laugh Factory. Yeah, I'll be at Laugh Factory.
And when you go out of town, where are you going to be for New Year's performance?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have New Year's booked right now. New Year's is open, so I'm probably going to be at the Laugh Factory. But you know where I'm going to be for Christmas, though?
Where?
I'm going to be all up in England and stuff because, you know, I'll be meeting these fine-ass dudes that be wanting me to be places and shit and get this money with me. So I'm about to go to London, England from the 22nd to the 29th out there showing these London Englanders how we get down in South Central Los Angeles.
Oh,
yes,
shit.
Sir. Boom,
you
she
gonna
ready.
You going to do stand-up?
No, I'm going to be dancing, but it's the same thing, no, because it's going to be hilarious.
What kind of fucking dancing you doing? Break it down for me. Knock it off. What dancing you
doing? I'm doing a bar mitzvah.
Stand up?
I'm dancing. I'm going to do energy producer.
Are you
fucking... I didn't know.
Are you putting me on?
No, I've been
Sunday
an energy
night?
Producer for, like, since 1996.
This is another Felipe.
Felipe, what are you talking about?
I need this shit now in my life on a Sunday night. First you show up with the fucking angels, then you're eating a fucking cheeseburger. Now you're telling me you're going to England and be an energy producer.
Yeah, I produce energy. That's what I do. You felt the energy when I walked through the door. You was like, ooh, energy. That's what unicorns do. And I do bar mitzvahs. I've done it for over 15 years. Yeah, I'm a unicorn. I'm the last black unicorn. All
right.
I'm a magical creature. You catch this pussy, you win it. You understand me? You can only succeed in life if I'm your friend. There's no way you can be a failure unless you fuck me over. Period.
That's why I love you.
I love you too, boo.
I'm going to give a shout out to the sponsors, all right?
Let's shout them out.
First of all, my favorite people of all time. These people are looking out to your fucking back. Alpha Brain, I don't know what else to tell you. You're firing all cylinders. I'm going back on my fucking Alpha Brain tomorrow cycle because I'm shooting a film. I don't want my mind fucking slipping at all.
Alpha What's Brain, Alpha Brain?
It's just this nootropics. It makes your mind. It's got a bunch of, right now I'm too high to break down the formulas. That
helps with your memory. Joe Rogan takes them before the UFC. So yeah, helps him, like it helps
I don't know what Joe Rogan does. Activity. I'm telling you how it fucking makes me feel. Even though I smoke 82,000 bong hits a day, it clears me up. It gives me more words. It gives me more focus.
And where can you get it?
You have to go online and get them. You go to onnit.com. And the beauty about fucking strong
Alpha Brain
is it's got 100% money back guarantee. They just did some type of exclusive testing in the University of
in Boston, right?
In Boston.
For the,
and this thing came back that it helps not glaucoma,
Alzheimer's.
But Alzheimer's. This is how good.
And how much is it?
Who the fuck knows? Go to onnit.com.
Onnit.com.
Look to see what size you want. If it don't help you, if what it was saying don't do it for you, you get 100% money back guarantee. We don't even want the product back. Go to onnit.com and press in.
Church.
Boom! And get 10% off your order. Listen, you're going to love it. Just stay on it. Go to stayonnit.com and you get another 10% off and it gets delivered right to your house every month. And don't stop fucking there, right? They got some tremendous stuff. Strong Bone and ICM juice and weights and just kettlebells and
battle new ropes. Mood.
And they just got battle ropes. They got some tremendous stuff. Also, a beautiful shout out to my main man over there on fucking IronDragonTV.com. My main man was here the other night, Dave Foley, dropping it for you. I didn't know what was going on. They're talking this shit. I don't understand it. All I know is this. I got a bunch of emails that people went on and they love it. People love it. You get two free Kung Fu classic films. They got the Assassins. They got the Thieves. They got 1911 Jackie Chan. The Man series. They got so many classic films, and they add more daily. Go to IronDragonTV.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom. What do you got, Lee?
Two free rentals.
Two. There ain't nothing like going home, smoking a few bong hits, taking your socks off, cutting your fingernails or your toenails, sniffing your fingers. Sitting back and watching a kung fu movie. Nothing like it. People don't do that no more in America. You don't understand what you're missing. An old classic kung fu movie. Go to IronDragonTV.com. They're going to rock your fucking world. And stay with them. This is nanotech. They're making fucking things happen. This ain't the beginning of what they're doing. They're doing something with music. They're doing a bunch of good shit. Trust me. I wouldn't be fucking with them. And I didn't think they could help you out. Number two. Boom. NailedItLife.com. Throwing heat at you motherfuckers. The exclusive vapor pen of savages like Lee Syatt when he's doing all his fucking magic tricks. Go to nailedatlife.com right now. Look at what they got. They got everything from t-shirts, but their main thing are these vapor pens. They break. You call David. You tell him that the filter broke. Boom. Within 24 hours, you got your shit up and running. Go to nailedatlife.com and press in.
Joey Diaz.
Ooh! And what do you get?
20% off.
20 motherfucking percent off, okay? NailedItLife.com. Now, what we're talking about e-cigarettes, I ain't messing with you peoples. It's December 7th. Everything happens. Everybody in this country makes these fucking things. What do you call them? Reservations?
Resolutions.
Resolutions. And they say, you know what? I'm going to stop sucking dick. I'm going to stop smoking cigarettes. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to stop eating better. You know what? Start right now. A lot of people are smoking. They don't know how to do this. Start smoking. 3-4 years ago when my wife was pregnant with Mercy, I knew I couldn't smoke. I had to quit. Thanksgiving, I just started one day smoking cigarettes, a regular vapors. I don't even know what the fuck I was smoking. I quit. Never had a cigarette again, but I knew I quit by smoking a vapor pen just to give me the same stuff, you know, and I did what they do. And now they sent me some vapor pens that are just tremendous. They're the best I've ever tasted. A Hitty Cigs 1200s, okay? Let me tell you something. They last longer, and they taste tremendous. Let's say you want to quit smoking. You get the 0, the 8, the 16, the 24 milligrams. Stop to the top and work yourself backwards. You got no nicotine. Boom, you're not smoking no more. Your lungs feel better. You can last an extra 2 minutes when you're fucking sucking and banging. You can run up a fucking hill now. That all happens when you quit smoking cigarettes. But it all starts with HittyCigs.com. They last longer. They taste better. They got cigars. They got different cigarettes. They got different flavors. You want to smoke menthol. You want to smoke raspberry. Boom! Go to HittyCigs.com right now. See the whole fucking collection from this tremendous cigar. Check this out. You're going to be out New Year's Eve. You want to mingle with your friends. You don't want your fingers to smell like dick.
Hitty Cig, how do you spell that?
HittyCigs.com. HittyCigs.com right now. And what do you get?
You press Joey's Church and you're going to get 20%
off. 20% off. Try them. Give them a shot for the holidays. Give yourself a better life. Take care of your lungs. Trust me. Stay black. Tiffany Haddish, you're a badass bitch. I love you to death.
Thank you.
What's
so
in the
much.
Cup? Did you bring soda, a milkshake? What'd you get with your
Oh,
double?
I have some pink lemonade.
Look at you. You went for the pink lemonade.
Because I like it. I like lemonade.
Keep me posted on all your success. You're fucking beautiful.
I will. Well, but before we go, can you tell me what was the name of that first one again with the mind pills?
Alpha Brain.
Onnit.com.
Onnit.com?
Onnit.com.
Yeah.
Onnit.com.
O-N-N.
O-N-N. Okay, that's why I couldn't find it. All right. O-N-N. I-T. You farted. Okay, that's cute.
I didn't fart. It was just the way the chair twisted. You know me.
Yeah.
I would never fart in front of you. What the fuck?
I smell you. I can smell. We family now. You know what? Since you did it, let me do it too.
Oh, shit. It's tremendous. Oh, shit. She's taking it to another level. Lee, read the fucking credits. It's a nice silent one. Let's wrap this motherfucker up.
Let's go.
Listen, have a great Monday. Have a great week. I'm shooting a film this week. I don't know if we're going Wednesday or Thursday. I'll keep you motherfuckers posted. I love you. Have a great week. Tiffany Haddish, thank you.
Yeah.
Lee Syed, I had a great time with you.
Hit me up on Twitter.
It was awesome.
You bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
Stay black. We got a tremendous guest this week.
Stay alive.
One more time. Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany like the diamonds Haddish. Thank you.
Leave the shape of Lee. Why are you giggling and going on with yourself, huh?
Show is sponsored by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of any of their great products. Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. Go to NailedItLife.com to get the premier vapor pen on the market for people who smoke oil or wax or and wax. Use code word Joey Diaz to get 20% off of your order. Go to HitEcigs.com. The proof is in the vape. Better tasting, longer lasting. You're going to get 20% off of your order when you use code word Joey's Church. And go to Iron Dragon TV. It's a new Roku channel. And use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all of their great martial arts movies.